It's time for Bradenton Marauders Baseball.
1-1 pitch to Bowen. Swing and a high drive to left field. Backing up is Jones. He's looking up. Goodbye, baseball! A walk-off home run by Jace Bowen. 4-2, the Marauders win it here at Lee Cobb Park. Here we go, the 3-2, runners go, it is strike three called! It's a no-hitter! The Marauders no-hit the Dunedin Blue Jays! It's the first nine-inning no-hitter in Marauders history! Four Marauders pitchers, Jose Maldonado, Cameron Junker, Brennan Malone, Wandy Montute, get the job done! Mateo has the sign and is ready. Hardman breaks for second. The pitch comes. Battle takes. Strike three called! And the Marauders win it! The Marauders are champions of the Low A Southeast! Oh, baby! Let the celebration begin!
Let's head out to the ballpark for the pregame show with the voice of the Marauders, Spencer Smith.
Good morning and welcome inside Bay Care Ballpark in Clearwater, Florida, where today your Bradenton Marauders, the single-A affiliate of the Pittsburgh Pirates, take on the Clearwater Threshers, the single-A affiliate of the Philadelphia Phillies. Hi, everybody. Spencer Smith with you for this, the finale of the 2022 regular season. After this game, regardless of the result, the Clearwater Threshers will be headed home and headed their separate ways. The Marauders, meanwhile, can go one of two directions. A win plus a Dunedin loss to Palm Beach this afternoon punches the Marauders' ticket to the postseason. If the Marauders lose, or if the Dunedin Blue Jays win, the Blue Jays are the ones headed to the postseason to take on the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles for the West Division Finals. Bradenton looking to play hard. The Blue Jays' first pitch is also scheduled for noon, just about 15 minutes down the road here from this ballpark. We'll keep our eyes fixated mostly on the game in front of us, of course, but we will provide you with periodic scoreboard updates on that all-too-important Dunedin Blue Jays game as the afternoon unfolds. The Marauders sent right-hander Po-Yu Chen, the 20-year-old from Taiwan, to the mound in his final appearance of the 2022 regular season. He'll go opposite left-hander Matt Osterberg, the Wisconsin native, for the Clearwater Threshers. Before we go any further here on the pregame show, I want to take a moment to recognize the flags at half-mast in right field here in Clearwater as we remember what happened 21 years ago today in New York City and the tragedies that affected so many and took so many lives from us. Not forgotten. 21 years ago today, September the 11th, 2001, we remember. We'll step aside. When we come back, the Marauders pregame show continues. We'll take a look at the Pirates Farm Report featuring John Moses, the voice of the AA Altoona Curve, and Jack McMullen with the AAA Indianapolis Indians. That's coming up next on the Marauders Broadcast Network.
Hey, all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately, so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
With the Indianapolis Indians, I'm Jack McMullen. The Indians have had a back-and-forth week in Omaha in their second straight series on the road. After taking the final five games in Louisville last week, the Indians and Storm Chasers have continued to swap tight wins. While the team results have become more sporadic, offensive production has remained steady. And outfielder Jared Oliva's last 20 games, he's flying to the 400 marker, collecting 28 hits in his last 70 at-bats. Mason Martin has four extra base hits in as many games and is top 10 in the International League in that category. But the big contributions have come from two guys that recently got to Indy from Altoona. Catcher Blake Sable has been magnificent, clubbing three homers in his first 10 games with the team, hitting right around 300 and showing his defensive versatility playing catcher and left field effectively. But right-hander Luis Ortiz stole the show on Thursday night, throwing six hitless innings and punching out nine Omaha hitters, dominating with a fastball that reached the triple digits. The Indians wrapped the road trip this afternoon with the Indians' debut of recent waiver claim Peter Solomon. They then hit the road back to Indy and start a stretch of 12 games in 12 days at Victory Field on Tuesday night against Toledo. With the Indians, I'm Jack McMullen.
With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses. The Curve have put themselves in position to make a late run at the second half title with four wins out of five to begin their series with the first place Erie Seawolves this week. On Friday night, right-hander Quinn Priester spun another brilliant outing, perhaps his best of the season, scattering four base runners over seven scoreless innings with five strikeouts on just 75 pitches. Priester was dialed in from pitch one, induced a pair of double play balls early in the game, which helped him work deep. And for pitching coach Drew Bennis, he was really impressed by nearly every aspect of Priester's outing.
You know, when you're not having to worry about the pitch count, it's always a good day. So just his ability to attack the zone and get quick outs, use a sinker. His other weapons were explosive too, so he was able to use the breaking ball early in the count. He was able to use the slider late to put guys away. The changeup was good, like really good all around. But the biggest part for me was just the quick outs and the efficiency, and that's usually what buys you the chance to get deeper into the game.
Priester is the rare pitcher that features both a curveball and slider, and on Friday night, he had both working to perfection, which isn't always the case for a starting pitcher.
Guys that have two breaking balls usually have one or the other. It's kind of rare when you have both. Like more outings than not, one's feeling better than the other one is, and you know, part of it is, you know, certain ones play better to righties and lefties early in the count, late in the count. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that goes into it. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, usually it's what he has feel for that day and what he has confidence in, because both of them are really good and he can use both of them in zone or strike the ball out of zone.
Altoona wraps up their series with Erie on Sunday at 1:35 with Aaron Shortridge on the mound and remain right on the edge of the second half playoff race with seven games to go. With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses.
Our thanks, as always, to John Moses of the AA Altoona Curve and Jack McMullen with the AAA Indianapolis Indians for their contributions to this week's Pirates Farm Report. We'll step aside again when we come back. Starting lineups are coming your way. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network.
Manatee Memorial Hospital is available 24/7 with high-quality treatment at our expanded emergency care center. As an accredited chest pain center by the American College of Cardiology and with a comprehensive stroke certification from Healthcare Facilities Accreditation Program, our caring team will be ready when you arrive. Remember, if you experience symptoms of a possible heart attack or stroke, quickly call 911. Visit ManateeMemorial.com for more information.
Welcome back to Big Care Ballpark in Clearwater. Time to meet this afternoon's starting lineups for the regular season finale. The Marauders hoping to make the postseason with a win and a Dunedin loss. Here are the nine men they send out tonight. Shortstop Sung Che Chang leads off. Second baseman Termar Johnson bats second. Third baseman Jack Brannigan hits third. Left fielder Tres Gonzalez bats cleanup. Right fielder Rodolfo Nolasco bats fifth. In the sixth slot is the catcher Wyatt Hendry. Center fielder Sergio Campagna bats seventh. The designated hitter is Juan Jerez. He hits eighth. And the first baseman, Norquis Marcos, bats ninth for the Marauders, who send Po Yu Chen out to the mound here this afternoon. 6'2", 187 pounds from Taoyuan City, Taiwan. Chen signed with the Pirates out of Taiwan in 2020. He brings a fastball, changeup, curveball, and slider. He has been with the Marauders since day one this season, 4.58 ERA over 22 appearances this season, and the whip not half bad at 1.26. Now they line up for the Threshers, who have lost three games in a row. 22-41, their second half record. Here's how they look. Left fielder Chris Burke leads off. Designated hitter Jordan Byers, the Phillies' number 12 prospect, bats second. First baseman Chad Castillo hits third. Catcher Caleb Ricketts is batting cleanup, with right fielder Dakota Kotowski batting fifth. The second baseman Otto Kemp, who is on a five-game on-base streak, bats sixth. Third baseman Matt Alifano, three hits in last night's game, bats seventh. Center fielder Kate Fergus hits eighth, and in the ninth spot, shortstop Eric Brito. That is the Threshers' lineup today. They send left-hander Matt Osterberg, the Wisconsin native and a product of St. Cloud State in Minnesota. Osterberg, a very fast worker on the mound, facing the Marauders here in the 2022 regular season finale. So there you have it. The lineups, the starting pitchers. This will be all for the 2022 regular season. Will the Marauders head to the FSL playoffs to meet the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles for the West Division Finals this coming week? Or will they go home with the Threshers trying to play spoiler and also with the Dunedin Blue Jays trying to win their game? That would punch the Blue Jays ticket as well. Just their win regardless of the Marauders' result this afternoon. We'll see what happens. We'll step aside, and when we come back, Marauders and Threshers coming your way from BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater, Florida. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network.
Manatee Memorial Hospital is available 24/7 with high-quality treatment at our expanded emergency care center. As an accredited chest pain center by the American College of Cardiology and with a comprehensive stroke certification from Healthcare Facilities Accreditation Program, our caring team will be ready when you arrive. Remember, if you experience symptoms of a possible heart attack or stroke, quickly call 911. Visit ManateeMemorial.com for more information.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey, y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately, so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
It all started with one man and a truck back in 1985. Today, LaPensi Plumbing Pools and Air is still family-owned and operated, specializing in all phases of plumbing, including service repairs, new construction, remodels, sewer video inspection, repiping, and drain cleaning. They also offer full-service air conditioning and complete pool services, including maintenance, repair, and remodels. For your next home project, trust the professionals at LaPensi Plumbing Pools and Air, a reputation built on trust. Visit them at www.lapensiplumbing.com.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, so we show them how, and we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids need to know the dangers and how to avoid them. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids, because when you talk, they hear you.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy, So we show them how, and we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids need to know the dangers and how to avoid them. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids, because when you talk, they hear you.
Manatee Memorial Hospital is available 24/7 with high-quality treatment at our expanded emergency care center. As an accredited chest pain center by the American College of Cardiology and with a comprehensive stroke certification from Healthcare Facilities Accreditation Program, our caring team will be ready when you arrive. Remember, if you experience symptoms of a possible heart attack or stroke, quickly call 911. Visit manateememorial.com for more information.
Hey, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It all started with one man and a truck back in 1985. Today, LaPensi Plumbing, Pools, and Air is still family-owned and operated, specializing in all phases of plumbing, including service repairs, new construction, remodels, sewer video inspection, repiping, and drain cleaning. They also offer full-service air conditioning and complete pool services, including maintenance, repair, and remodels. For your next home project, trust the professionals at LaPensi Plumbing, Pools, and Air, a reputation built on trust. Visit them at www.lapensiplumbing.com.
Welcome back on a beautiful Sunday afternoon to Clearwater, Florida, Bay Care Ballpark, the site of this 2022 regular season finale between the Marauders and the Clearwater Threshers. Hi again, everybody. Spencer Smith with you as left-hander Matt Osterberg takes his warm-up pitches for the Threshers. 6 foot 2 inch tall, 220-pound, 23-year-old left-hander from Coleman, Wisconsin, selected by the Phillies in the 15th round last year out of St. Cloud State in Minnesota. His numbers are not half bad at the single-A level this season. 3.25 ERA over 22 appearances. He has split his time almost 50-50 between the starting rotation and the bullpen. He's very frequently been the Sunday starter in the rotation for the Threshers this season. A very fast worker. Command can fluctuate at times, but he has 52 strikeouts over 63 and two-thirds innings, so tends to be a pitch-to-contact fella, and 15 walks over that same span. He has had trouble avoiding the bats at times. Opponents hitting 293 against Osterberg on the season. There's the toss down to second base by the catcher, Caleb Ricketts. And here we go. The Marauders and the Road Grays here for the regular season finale. And the Threshers go with the red jerseys, red hats, and the Phillies-style pinstripe pants. Sung Chae Cheng, Tamar Johnson, Jack Branning in the top three in the order today for Bradenton. Matt Osterberg stands tall on the back slope of the mound, mentally preparing himself. Now engages with the rubber, facing home plate straight on. The windup in the afternoon's first pitch. Sung Chae Cheng takes a high strike, and we're underway at 12.03 p.m., 85 degrees and mostly sunny on a gorgeous afternoon here in Clearwater. Quickly, Osterberg brings the 0-1, and Cheng takes on the outside corner, strike two. And Chang thought about challenging it, decides not to. Plate umpire today is Will Gallant with Nelson Fraley, the umpire on the bases. Osterberg, the 0-2. Chang takes a breaking ball outside, a good eye. One ball and two strikes. Tan glove for the left-hander Osterberg on the mound. No long sleeves under the jersey. The 1-2 pitch. Fastball. Strike three. Call on the outside corner. And the plate umpire, Will Gallant, accidentally bumps his face mask off his own face. Knocks it out of place. Never seen that one before, but he rings up Sungjae Chang. One away. Gallant looking toward the Clearwater dugout. I think some of the players and staff are razzing him for that. And Gallant sort of jokingly motioning to himself, yeah, I got to settle down with that strike three call. First time for everything. Here is Tamar Johnson, 275 hitter in 14 games for Bradenton. The pitch, a fastball strike right down Broadway. Just underway here in Clearwater. One out, nobody on base. Osterberg deals the 0-1. Breaking ball bends low and outside. Johnson lets it go by. In addition to the 275 batting average in 14 games for Johnson, 396 OBP and a 450 slugging percentage. The 1-1. Swings and drills a fastball down the left field line. Foul. Fastball sits in the low 90s for Osterberg. As we told you earlier, tends to be a pitch-to-contact left-hander more than a big strikeout guy. Not high strikeout totals. 1-2 pitch. Johnson swings and bounces it up the middle toward the second baseman, Kemp. He backhands, throws to first in plenty of time. And the first two Marauders hitters are retired here in the first inning. And to reacquaint everyone with the postseason implications here in this afternoon's game, the Marauders must win in order for a chance to get into the postseason, but in order for them to actually make the playoffs, the Dunedin and Blue Jays also have to lose their game against Palm Beach today. The windup and the pitch to Jack Brannigan, the next hitter. He takes a high strike. It's 0-1. Will Gallant perhaps favoring that high strike a little bit to begin play. Two outs, bases empty. Osterberg's 0-1. Brannigan swings and grounds one hard right to the third baseman, Alifano. Toss across to first base in time, and the Marauders go in order here in the visitors' half of the first inning. No scores. We go to the bottom of the first here in Clearwater. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network.
Hey, fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay, squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We all want our kids to grow up safe and healthy. So we show them how, and we tell them, with honest conversations that let them know what we expect. That's especially important when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. Kids need to know the dangers and how to avoid them. And when it comes to pain medications, opioids, they need to know that they should never be taken without a prescription and never shared with friends or family. It's dangerous and illegal. So talk with your kids, because when you talk, they hear you.
Welcome back to Bay Care Ballpark in Clearwater, where Marauders right-hander Po Yu Chen takes his warm-up tosses. He's making his 23rd start on the season for Bradenton. Chen was on the Marauders opening night roster here in 2022. He pitched the second game of the regular season back in Dunedin on April the 9th and went four innings, gave up just one run on one hit. He has since rattled off a number of good outings. He has also had a couple of rough ones, one of which came last week. Dig into that in a moment as left fielder Chris Burke stands in for Clearwater, making his first appearance of the series. Just activated off the development list yesterday. Pitch by Chen, the right-hander. There's a swing and a pop-up third base side, and this gets far out of play. Chris Burke, the Australian native. 16 games for Clearwater. 3 for 41 in the dish for an .073 batting average. Been a tough season for him. Chang, exclusively from the stretch, brings the 0-1, and Burke takes one low and outside. The Marauders went down in order in their half of the first inning. Matt Osterberg throwing just 10 pitches, getting a strikeout and a couple of groundouts. Chen fires the 1-1 home, and a swing and a line drive. Base hit into right field. Tamar Johnson with a leaping attempt, timed it perfectly, but came up an inch or two short. So there's the leadoff single for Chris Burke. Let's meet the Marauders' defense. In the outfield from left to right, it's Tres Gonzalez, Sergio Campana, and Rodolfo Nolasco. On the infield, Jack Brannigan starts at third base, Sungche Chang at shortstop. Tamar Johnson, the second baseman, whom we just referenced. First baseman is Norquis Marcos, and catching is Wyatt Hendry. There's Jordan Viers. Long, blonde-haired, left-handed batter, waiting quietly in the box. Here's the pitch. Viers swings and fouls it away in the air to the third base side. The Phillies' number 12 prospect, 8 games at single A, off to a slow start, hitting .208. Still in search of that first home run. He has driven in 3. Burke on first base. He can run a little bit. Here's the 0-1 pitch. Slow curveball misses outside from Chen. Last week's start for Po Yu Chen, 3 innings, roughed up for 5 runs, 3 earned on 7 hits. Didn't walk anybody and struck out 4, but really labored and ended up with a pitch count of 69 pitches through just 3 innings. 1-1, Byers takes a strike on the outside corner. We remind you that the challenge system is in place once again for this regular season finale. No score, bottom of the first, Clearwater with a runner on first base, nobody out. Here comes the 1-2 to Viers. He swings and rolls it to second base. Johnson gloves it. Flip to Chang for one. Throw to first base is in time. The Marauders roll it. 4-6-3, a double play. Bo Yu Chen will certainly take that. 2 outs. That wipes away that leadoff single by Chris Burke. You always prefer to face this guy with nobody on base, Chad Castillo. 24 games, hitting .233, but with 3 home runs and 8 runs batted in. First pitch swinging, he fouls it straight back. How dangerous is Castillo? The Marauders decide to intentionally walk him late in last night's game, as that put the potential winning run onto the base paths. Marauders just narrowly escaped a jam to win that game last night. 0-1, cut on a miss, timing all thrown off in the breaking ball. Of course, that decision ended up paying off for the Marauders. They escaped a bases-loaded jam in the ninth inning. Or in the seventh inning last night, to stay in the playoff chase. The set. The 0-2 from Chen. Swinging a line drive. This is into right center field for a base knock. Sergio Campana moving over and picks it up and gets it in toward the infield, holding Castillo to a single.
Batting fourth for the Treasures, catcher number 13, Caleb Ricketts.
Most of the folks in attendance here in Clearwater this afternoon are hunkering back toward the upper levels of the seating bowl, toward the concourse. That's the area that's providing the most shade. Caleb Ricketts, the left-handed hitting catcher, is next up. The pitch. He swings big and misses. No score, bottom of the first inning. Po Yu Chen, his team-leading 23rd start of the season. Works from the first base side of the rubber. He fires the 0-1 pitch. Ricketts takes one in the foot. He is nailed. Curveball from Chen gets away from him, and now he'll have to work with 2 runners on the base paths. Ricketts already came into this game over 22 games for Clearwater with a .362 on base percentage. That bumps up a little bit with that hit by pitch. Dunedin and Palm Beach just in the bottom of the first inning, scoreless early on over at TD Ballpark. Meanwhile, Po Yu Chen faces runners on first and second, 2 outs. Dakota Kotowski is the batter. Here's the pitch. He swings and lines one. Diving stop at first base by Norquis Marcos. Throw to Chen, covering first base in time. What a play by Norquis Marcos, crumpling to the ground. Backhand diving stop over at first base, and the throw to Chen covering. In time, that ends the inning, and the Threshers leave a pair stranded. Po Yu Chen escapes a jam here in the first. No score. We move to the second. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network.
Hey, fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
It all started with one man and a truck back in 1985. Today, LaPensi Plumbing, Pools, and Air is still family-owned and operated, specializing in all phases of plumbing, including service repairs, new construction, remodels, sewer video inspection, repiping, and drain cleaning. They also offer full-service air conditioning and complete pool services, including maintenance, repair, and remodels. For your next home project, trust the professionals at LaPensi Plumbing, Pools, and Air, a reputation built on trust. Visit them at www.lapensiplumbing.com.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
Scoreless game in Clearwater. We move to the second inning. Tres Gonzalez leading off for the Marauders. First pitch taking. It's a high strike from Matt Osterberg. Clearwater left-hander really peppering that top portion of the strike zone with his arsenal, mostly with that fastball. Here he comes with the 0-1, and Gonzalez takes outside. Spencer Smith back with you here at BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater. Partial cloud cover right now. Temperatures in the mid-80s, wind blowing in from right center field. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Gonzalez swings and skies it down the left field line, push out of play. Gonzalez has had a remarkable stretch here with the Marauders late summer. 24 games played, .325 batting average, and a .413 on-base percentage. 1-2, swinging a bouncing ball up the middle. This is backhanded by the second baseman. Kemp, toss across his body on the money to first base. And the Marauders' first four hitters have been retired today. An impressive play by Otto Kemp, who has played both second base and third base in this series. Made a couple of nice backhand jobs over there in this game. That'll bring up Rodolfo Nolasco. He was a real force midsummer for Bradenton as he really started to hit his stride. Pitch, right-handed batter swings and slugs one high in the air right field. Carrying back, Kotowski onto the warning track. He makes the catch on the near edge of the warning track. Nolasco flies out to deep right field, two away for Bradenton here in the second inning. Looking for a moment that Nolasco maybe had home run number 12 on his hands. Not quite the case. Here's Wyatt Hendry. Southern California native reaching base safely in his last four games in a row. Pitch by Osterberg. Hendry takes a fastball high. Hendry has also reached base safely in 10 of his last 12 games. Lefty fires the 1-0. That's inside under the hands. Hendry works at a 2-0, batting average at .248 for Wyatt. Four home runs, 26 runs batted in. Has continued to show a refined approach at the plate, especially in the second half of the season. 2-0, that's low, ball three. With no score and two outs, top of the second, the Marauders still in search of their first base runner. First five in a row retired by Matt Osterberg, who is ready, full windup, and the 3-0. Hendry swinging and sends a soft liner foul into the seats down the first base line. Little boy in a bright yellow t-shirt picks up that ball as he finds it among an empty row of seats. 3-1, Hendry takes strike two over the inside half. Marauders need to win. Dunedin needs to lose in order for Bradenton to make the postseason. 3-2 pitch from Osterberg. Hendry checks, swings one foul back to the screen. This is the longest plate appearance by Marauders hitter so far today. Prior to this one, which we'll see pitch number 7 next to Hendry, no Marauders hitter saw more than 4 in an at-bat. The 3-2 again. There's a swing and a line drive right field. Kotowski comes in and makes a shoestring catch. The inning is over. Wyatt Hendry can't quite get it to sit down for him. So we're through 1.5, still scoreless at BayCare Ballpark. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
It all started with one man and a truck back in 1985. Today, LaPensi Plumbing Pools and Air is still family-owned and operated, specializing in all phases of plumbing, including service repairs, new construction, remodels, sewer video inspection, repiping, and drain cleaning. They also offer full-service air conditioning and complete pool services, including maintenance, repair, and remodels. For your next home project, trust the professionals at LaPensi Plumbing Pools and Air, a reputation built on trust. Visit them at www.lapensiplumbing.com.
Celebrate the history of our national pastime at the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum in Cooperstown. See priceless treasures that will bring your baseball memories to life. Connect with events that have shaped and changed the game and our country. Our stories to tell, your memories to share. Plan your family visit today at baseballhall.org. See you in Cooperstown, where the journey becomes legend.
OU Chen escaped a jam in the first inning with the help of some solid defense behind him. Now he's back for the second inning, facing 6-7-8 in the Clearwater lineup. Right-hander tosses home. Otto Kemp swings and blasts one deep to left field. Tres Gonzalez back, looking up. This ball is way out of here. Otto Kemp with his first single-A home run, and the Threshers strike first this afternoon. Still a long, long way to go in this game, but that ball hit a long, long way for Kemp's first home run as a professional. And the Marauders going to have to play from behind here. There's Matt Alifano, who had a three-hit game from the ninth spot in the order last night. The toss from Chen. Slow curveball, low and outside, not close. Alifano trying to climb with that batting average a little bit more to finish out the regular season, hitting .196 in 15 games. The 1-0. Fastball in there for strike one. Clearwater 1, Bradenton nothing. Chen lifts his leg and tosses the 1-1 pitch. Curveball well located at the knees, called a strike. Alifano is challenging it. Will Gallant looks up to the booth, and this one is overturned. It's ball two. 2-1 the count instead of 1-2. Both teams still have all of their challenges. 2-1 from Chen. Curveball again. Skips in the dirt, and he falls behind 3-1. Some gray cloud cover moving in from down south. That's coming from the first base side of the ballpark. 3-1 pitch. Alifano takes a strike in the knees, and on the inside corner, he's going to challenge this one. This call, however, is upheld. So it remains 3-2. Clearwater loses its first challenge. Let's see what Chen decides to go with on 3-2. Hendry gives the signal. And the right-hander. Payoff pitch to Alifano. Swing and a miss. He got him. Strike three. Matt Alifano chases an elevated fastball above the strike zone. And a good recovery by Chen following the home run ball. So those gray clouds moving in from down south on the first base side of the ballpark. That's giving a little bit more distinct cloud cover in front of the sun. And those clouds aren't looking too friendly. Next up is Kate Fergus. The pitch takes low. Conditions relatively cool, though. That's the benefit of those clouds. Nonetheless, Will Gallen, the plate umpire, sweating right through that light blue polo. The 1-0. Slow curveball drops in, a strike. as he has done all season. Po Yuchen sporting that blue glove on the mound. Hands away from his chest, lifts his leg, tosses the 1-1. Fastball, strike two, outside corner. Nice spot. Dunedin and Palm Beach, still scoreless, top two. Marauders need a win for themselves and a Blue Jays loss to make the playoffs. They would face the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles for the West Division Finals for that best of three round. The 1-2 from Chen. Check swing and a breaking ball by Fergus. He held up. Pretty busy Sunday afternoon out on Route 19 beyond right field. North-south thoroughfare that crosses the Sunshine Skyway Bridge here in the Tampa Bay area. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. And down goes Fergus. Strike three. Back-to-back strikeouts following the home run.
Batting ninth for the Treasures, shortstop number 49, Eric Brito.
And here comes Eric Brito. Brito hit toward the top of the order several times in this series. Batting ninth in this game, though. The pitch takes a curveball, strike on the outside corner, and Brito's going to challenge it after a moment's hesitation. This one is overturned. Honestly surprised that Will Gallant still let him challenge that after such a long hesitation. So the count 1-0, pitch number 2 to Brito, low and outside. Threshers lead 1-0 on a solo homer by Otto Kemp to left field, leading off this second inning. One run, three hits for Clearwater, no runs, no hits yet for Bradenton. Here comes the 2-0. Fastball swung on, launched deep to left field, and this one is also gone. Line drive solo blast by Eric Brito, his second home run of the season, and the Threshers' second of the inning. They now lead it 2-0. That ball was smoked 100.6 off the bat. On a fastball that, by the way, was off the plate a bit inside. Brito turns hard on it. Marauders down early here in Clearwater. Wyatt Hendry calls time. He's going to go talk to Chen. Not the first couple of innings worth of results that the Marauders were looking for today. Hendry going over to Chen, putting his arm over his right shoulder. Trying to comfort him, trying to help him refocus. Trying to help him zero back in on his goals here. Marauders middle infielders, Sung-Chae Cheng and Tamar Johnson also come into the mound. Johnson a pat on the backside of Chen, and the men all part ways back to their respective positions. Threshers with two solo home runs in this inning. Otto Kemp, Eric Brito, giving the home team a 2-0 lead in a game the Marauders must win. Here's Chris Burke, the leadoff hitter. First pitch, he swings ahead of the off-speed. Burke laced a single to right field to lead off the home half of the first for Clearwater. Threshers weren't able to get a run across in that first inning, though. 0-1. Swung on and missed. Chan going changeup there. The pitch low and outside. Ahead, no balls, two strikes with the bases empty. Chen lifts his leg, fires home, the 0-2, misses low. Hendry, though, pointing with his mitt toward Chen, liking the result of that pitch. Even though the didn't generate a swing and a miss or a strike call, still a good spot, good execution. He's ready. Chen brings the 1-2 pitch home, and that is strike three called on the outside corner. The inning is over, but the Threshers strike first on a couple of solo homers off the bats of Otto Kemp and Eric Brito. 2-0 Clearwater moving to the third. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network.
It all started with one man and a truck back in 1985. Today, LaPensi Plumbing, Pools, and Air is still family-owned and operated, specializing in all phases of plumbing, including service repairs, new construction, remodels, sewer video inspection, repiping, and drain cleaning. They also offer full-service air conditioning and complete pool services, including maintenance, repair, and remodels. For your next home project, trust the professionals at LaPensi Plumbing, Pools, and Air, a reputation built on trust. Visit them at www.lapensiplumbing.com.
Okay, forest animals, kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course!
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Hey fans, do you know your Mud Hens from your Trash Pandas? Then play Minor League Rundown, the official free-to-play game of Minor League Baseball, and compete for tickets and game day experiences. Rundown is made for masters of ballpark trivia. Playing is free and easy on any mobile device. Just head on over to www.ballyplay.com to sign up and play. Return for each open round to vie for more prizes, including the grand prize, to attend Championship Weekend in Las Vegas this October. It's never been this fun to get caught in a rundown.
Hey y'all, I'm Blake Shelton. I love that country music connects people all over this great nation, but unfortunately so does something else, childhood hunger. 15 million children struggle with hunger in America. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks works to rescue our surplus food to help provide billions of meals to families in need across the country. Join the fight against hunger at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Seemingly out of nowhere here in Clearwater, we are in a weather delay here at BayCare Ballpark at the end of two innings with the Threshers leading 2-0. It appears we're getting a pop-up storm coming in from the south. We notice some gray clouds moving in from off on the first base side of the ballpark, heading northward. So that gray cloud mass coming our way, the staff has just finished pulling the tarp over the infield, and we are now officially in a weather delay here at BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater. After the weather was so gorgeous to begin the morning into the early afternoon, this is not the break the Marauders and Threshers were looking for. So currently in a weather delay, we will keep you updated when we hear any further information on the status of today's game. A very quick and simple summary for you, for those who are maybe just tuning in. The game scoreless through the first inning and a half, but the Threshers putting two runs on the board with solo home runs by Otto Kemp and Eric Brito. And that is it. Matt Osterberg, the starting pitcher for the Threshers. Po Yu Chen, the man on the mound for the Marauders. Depending on how long this weather delay lasts, we may or may not see those two starting pitchers return for their respective clubs. So we're going to keep an eye on the situation. We're going to see what we can hear, see what sort of information we can glean on the status of today's game. For now, we're in a weather delay right before heading into the third inning. Clearwater leading 2-0. We'll come back and share further information with you on the air as it becomes available. And we'll also share said information on the Marauders' Twitter handle, @_Marauders. In the meantime, we'll send it to an extended break. You can enjoy some interviews from days and weeks past with Marauders players and members of the coaching staff. Sit tight and enjoy those while we hope to get more information soon on the weather delay here in Clearwater. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network.
Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with outfielder Tress Gonzalez. Tress, about a month now into your professional career, a month plus. Just touch on the whole experience so far in terms of being able to play in these big league spring training ballparks and learning from this coaching staff. Just what's the full experience been like for you so far?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. Every single ballpark's, there's been greats playing on every field, and whether it's at Lecom or here at Clearwater, I'm enjoying every moment that I can, just looking up in the stands and seeing a bunch of fans up there supporting us and even supporting the other team, just getting fans out here, and just a different experience, and I'm grateful for it for sure.
Now, you're from Georgia, so obviously not far from here down in Florida. Did you have some sort of a group of family or friends at Lecom Park recently? It sounded like you had a group cheering for you. Yes. In particular.
Yeah, so my girlfriend was here last week, and my mom, dad, and my mom's parents, so my grandparents are here right now, actually, so they're here in Clearwater again. But it's great to see them and have them down here supporting me, and I love that they came down here to watch the games.
Always nice to have family and friends and loved ones around, for sure. Last several weeks, pretty consistent contact, bat to ball. You've been on base a lot. Has there been anything that's clicked for you mechanically, or is this just sort of you doing you?
Yeah, it's not really anything mechanical. It just always starts in the cages before the game. Everybody from JJ to Casey to Mendy to Omania just helping with me with my approach, and definitely just helping me put the best swing I can up at the plate and result in hard contact. So that's all I can hope for.
Has there been any particular nuggets or bits of wisdom or advice that the coaching staff shared with you that has really struck you in particular and helped you out?
Yeah, the biggest difference between here and college is just the velocity increase, whether it's just a starter who's consistently mid-90s or a closer who's high 90s, touching 100, just being on time with everything and reacting to off-speed is the biggest thing that I've gotten used to, and just always be on time for the fastball and react to everything else.
Tress Gonzalez, our guest on the pregame show tonight. Georgia Tech set a new program record this year with 6 players drafted in the first 10 rounds. What do you feel that means to the program as a whole, and just how do you feel that being a part of that program prepped you for professional baseball?
Yeah, we definitely had a really special team. Coach James Ramsey's our hitting coach, and he prepared us a ton. Coach Hall's an awesome, historic head coach and helped us a ton as well. And Danny Burrell, our pitching coach, he had a good amount of pitchers drafted as well. Just such a historic team, and teaching the right game of baseball, going about it the professional way, getting your work done, and if you need help and improvement with different things, then they'll reach out to you, but they kind of let you do your own thing, and that's the thing I like about Georgia Tech, and they help prepare you for the next level where I'm at right now. So,
sticking with the collegiate athletics theme, tennis pretty popular in your family. Both of your parents played, your sister also played. Is that something that you ever considered taking up, or is it something you maybe play in your time away from the baseball diamond? How has that figured into your life personally, if any?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm the only person in my family that didn't play collegiate tennis. So it's definitely been a big part of my life. I played before I started playing baseball. I played at the age of 4 and all the way up until sophomore, junior year of high school. So tennis definitely played a big role in my life, and I ultimately decided that I needed to pick one sport and pick baseball. Just that's where I find my joy and happiness in the game of baseball. I love tennis as well, but there's a special place in my heart for baseball, and I enjoy it every time I step on the field.
Born and raised in the Atlanta area, is there anyone in particular, maybe someone the Braves or someone else from Major League Baseball, who you model your game after, or somebody who influences or influenced you in some particular way as a ball player?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia and Atlanta in particular just has so many great athletes, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, anything, going pro every year. So nobody from the specific Atlanta area that I mentor my game after, but I always love watching Freddie Freeman play. It's tough watching him go from the Braves to the Dodgers, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and I understand it. So I really like watching his at-bats and how he goes about his professional at-bats. So whenever I see that the Dodgers are playing this year, I definitely tune in to watch a few at-bats from Freddie Freeman.
We'll get you out on this one, Tress. With 5 games to go here in the regular season this week in Clearwater, team still has a chance at a postseason, trying to keep on fighting. What's your mentality and your mindset as you come to the ballpark each day right now?
Yeah, right now it's a really big week, really important 5 games remaining, so can't really focus on the outcomes of the games these next few days, but focus on one inning at a time and get all of our outs and have crucial at-bats pay off. So just take it one at-bat at a time and pass it to the next guy.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you for your time, Trey.
Have a good one.
That was Tres Gonzalez on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with left-hander Cy Nielsen. Cy, your first professional season here in 2022, just drafted in the eighth round this year by the Buccos. What's the professional experience been like for you so far?
It's been a lot of downtime, honestly. A lot of baseball and a lot of video games for me. Just started school, so that's kind of taking up part of my time. But split my time between those three, that's pretty much it. So.
What's your go-to video game during your downtime?
I've been playing a lot of Warzone lately, a lot of resurgence with my boys.
Sounds like a good time. So as we look back on your outing last night, you pitched the final two innings of the game, not the final outcome of the game that the team wanted necessarily, but you looked pretty good out there. What was working for you so well?
I think that over the past few outings, I've just kind of been finding my rhythm, finding my timing, and then last night I felt like I kind of tied it all together. Didn't exactly have my slider and my changeup working, but I felt like I could command my fastball pretty well. So I had that working, along with my timing. I felt pretty well with it. So
now your roots are in Utah, born and raised in the state, went to BYU. Nearest major league team would be the Rockies, I imagine. What point being, what sort of hooked you onto baseball in the first place growing up in Utah?
I mean, I've played my whole entire life. I played other sports. I played football when I was in sixth grade. That was the most recent sport, and I didn't love it. I was always looking forward to going to baseball practice. Couldn't really fall in love with football or anything else. So I think that growing up doing it, I kind of fell in love with the process, the hard work, the failure, and kind of bouncing back. So with all those things, I kind of just grew up in it and fell in love with it. So.
Cy Nielsen, our guest on the pregame show tonight. Your dad actually played some college ball. Did that have any influence on you in your decision to pursue baseball long term?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. We love baseball as a family, and he pushed me to play baseball. We'd always go play in the backyard, whatnot. He'll play catch with me every once in a while, but when I'm back home. But yeah, other than that, I'd say yeah, but not a huge part.
Who were some of the major leaguers you looked up to when you were younger, if any, and who may have played another role in sort of your formative years in growing up as a ball player?
Yeah, so back to my dad, we were big Red Sox fans, always watching games, always watching like the top 100 plays, whatever. I would say my top two are John Lester and David Price back when they were both Red Sox. I like them both. They're smooth, their mechanics, they kind of like mine. Love the way they compete. John Lester's a big hunter. I love going hunting. But yeah, I just love those two, both left-handed.
I was going to say, both left-handed, yeah. Too. That's easy for you. And so being a Red Sox fan, you actually had the opportunity to go pitch in the Cape Cod League for a couple of summers. That had to have been pretty special for you.
Yeah, it was really cool. Went out there. Me and my mom drove out from Utah, went to Fenway Park. Yeah, it was a long drive. Went out to Fenway Park. It was beautiful. We had to fly my dad out. We all went to a game together. It was insane. Fenway Park, seeing the look on his face is just like starstruck almost. But yeah, playing out there was great. I was out there for two summers, fell in love with the town, the people. They're very loyal fans. Learned a lot about myself. Felt like it really prepared me for pro ball. So
you joined the team here in Bradenton just a couple of weeks ago, basically right in the heart of a postseason chase. As you come to the ballpark each day, you sit in the bullpen or you take the mound. What are the feelings like for you knowing what's at stake right now?
There's a lot at stake, to be honest with you. We win, Dunedin lose, and we're right there in first place. So it's kind of based on who's working well that night. Calls go our way, calls don't go our way. That's kind of what the games are decided on. So all I know is I can control what I can control. When I'm called upon, I do the best I can, and I know that I can help the other guys prepare whatever they need to do. But yeah, it's just another baseball game in the end. But you gotta win some more than you lose.
That's right. Excellent, Cy. Thank you for your time today. Yeah,
for sure. Thank you.
That was Cy Nielsen on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans, this is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle @_Marauders.
With the Indianapolis Indians, I'm Jack McMullen. The Indians have had a back-and-forth week in Omaha in their second straight series on the road. After taking the final five games in Louisville last week, the Indians and Storm Chasers have continued to swap tight wins. While the team results have become more sporadic, offensive production has remained steady. In outfielder Jared Oliva's last 20 games, he's flying to the 400 marker, collecting 28 hits in his last 70 at-bats. Mason Martin has four extra base hits in as many games and is top 10 in the International League in that category. But the big contributions have come from two guys that recently got to Indy from Altoona. Catcher Blake Sable has been magnificent, clubbing three homers in his first 10 games with the team, hitting right around .300 and showing his defensive versatility, playing catcher and left field effectively. But right-hander Luis Ortiz stole the show on Thursday night, throwing six hitless innings and punching out nine Omaha hitters, dominating with a fastball that reached the triple digits. The Indians wrapped the road trip this afternoon with the Indians' debut of recent waiver claim Peter Solomon. They then hit the road back to Indy and start a stretch of 12 games in 12 days at Victory Field on Tuesday night against Toledo. With the Indians, I'm Jack McMullen.
With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses. The Curve have put themselves in position to make a late run at the second half title with four wins out of five to begin their series with the first place Erie Seawolves this week. On Friday night, right-hander Quinn Priester spun another brilliant outing, perhaps his best of the season, scattering four base runners over seven scoreless innings with five strikeouts on just 75 pitches. Priester was dialed in from pitch one, induced a pair of double play balls early in the game, which helped him work deep. And for pitching coach Drew Bennis, he was really impressed by nearly every aspect of Priester's outing.
You know, when you're not having to worry about the pitch count, it's always a good day. So just his ability to attack the zone and get quick outs, use a sinker. His other weapons were explosive too, so he was able to use the breaking ball early in the count. He was able to use the slider late to put guys away. The changeup was good, like really good all around. But the biggest part for me was just the quick outs and the efficiency, and that's usually what buys you the chance to get deeper into the game.
Priester is the rare pitcher that features both a curveball and slider, and on Friday night, he had both working to perfection, which isn't always the case for a starting pitcher.
Guys that have two breaking balls usually have one or the other. It's kind of rare when you have both. More outings than not, one's feeling better than the other one is, and you know, part of it is, you know, certain ones play better to righties and lefties early in the count, late in the count. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that goes into it. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, usually it's what he has feel for that day and what he has confidence in, because both of them are really good and he can use both of them in zone or strike the ball out of zone.
Altoona wraps up their series with Erie on Sunday at 1:35 with Aaron Shortridge on the mound, and remain right on the edge of the second half playoff race with 7 games to go. With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses.
Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with outfielder Tanner Treadaway. Tanner, heck of a game for you yesterday afternoon. You got your first professional home run off your back. How did that swing feel? And did you know immediately that it was going out?
It felt awesome. No, I didn't know. I was sprinting out of the box, looking for a double, hopefully maybe a triple or whatever. And I looked up around second base and everybody was like waving the finger around. I was like, man, I actually got it. So, it was exciting and, got a good pitch to do it with.
Looking back at your pro experience so far, you had some time in the FCL, then joined the Marauders here earlier this month. What has the experience been like for you just in terms of getting to work with the coaches down there in the complex now here with Bradenton, getting to know your teammates? How's it all felt so far?
It's been awesome. For me, it's been, you know, a great learning experience coming from college and getting into the pro atmosphere, kind of developing a routine every day, you know, trying to figure out the most consistent way to go about things. That's been the biggest thing for me. And so it's just been great. It's been an awesome learning opportunity for me. And I'm just glad to be doing it with these group of guys.
Now you touched on your college experience a little bit. You went to Oklahoma, made a run in the College World Series, not quite the end result in the final round that you guys would have liked, but a remarkable run nonetheless. When you sort of take into account the experience and just the thrill of playing on such a big stage, what was that like for you?
I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, it's really a kid's dream, I think. When we got there, it was you're just surrounded by people interviewing you, and you just, you know, you're the walk of the talk there. And so it was awesome. It was a great experience. You know, the team that we were able to do it with was what made it even better, you know, because that group of guys, they were really selfless group of people, and they were just great to be around. They made it that much better, and the coaches were that way too. So it was awesome. It was also fun playing in front of 30,000 people. So, yeah, I had a great time.
Visiting with Tanner Treadaway, Marauders outfielder here on the pregame tonight. Let's go back to your roots a little bit. Growing up in Texas, you grew up near the Fort Worth, Dallas area. Typical for the area, Rangers, Cowboys fan, or were your sports rooting interests elsewhere?
I'd say Rangers, Cowboys fan for the most part. Originally, I'm from South Texas, so I grew up more of a Astros fan to begin with. And then when we moved and stuff, I kind of made the switch as well. So, I'd say Rangers and Cowboys for sure.
How do you feel about the Cowboys' chances this season? NFL opening week's coming up.
I don't know. I mean, you always hope for the best, but it seems like, you know, they find a way to let you down. I hate to say it, but, I don't know. We'll see what they got this year.
Who were your sports idols growing up, and then any other major influences in your life, whether inside or outside of sports?
I'd say Jeter was probably the biggest influence for me. I got to see him play when I was a kid. Got to see him in person a little bit as a kid. So I really always looked up to him. And you know, now that the captain's out and everything, it's been even cooler to kind of see, like, you know, how it was when he was in his prime and stuff like that. So I've always looked up to him. Try to carry myself the same way he carries himself, and just, you know, be level-headed wherever you are, whatever you're doing.
Was there anybody else in your life along the way who maybe sort of encouraged you to pursue baseball, or anyone who you feel was a major influence to you otherwise?
Yeah, my dad and my grandpa for sure. They both coached baseball a long time, played a long time, so I was just kind of born into it a little bit. But you know, they have just been my greatest supporters, and you know, one of the best things about them is they've never pushed a sport on me. They've never, you know, gotten upset about the sport or anything like that. They've always just let me be me with it and taught me everything they knew. And so I'm very thankful for that and for them. And yeah.
You mentioned how Derek Jeter is one of your biggest major league influences growing up. And I think folks who have watched you play to this point kind of get the idea that his hard-nosed style of play, his hustle, really transferred over to you and your passion for the game. You've made some impressive diving plays out there and some great athletic plays out there in the outfield during your time as a Marauder. For maybe some of the younger listeners tonight, what are some ways in which you develop that those instincts, those skills, and that know-how to kind of know when to lay out for a ball, know which routes to take? How does that all develop?
You know, I think that kind of started for me, you know, at a really young age. You know, it was for me, it was I was always kind of the smaller, the not so strong, not so talented kid. And so I had to make up my game for the little things. And that was playing hard and doing the right things on the field, carrying yourself the right way. So, you know, I was kind of always driven that way by that. And, you know, I would say, you know, for me, it's you always, you never know who's watching you. And for me, you know, if I got a little kid out there and he's looking up to me, you know, in the stands, then I want to be sure that I give my best game to him. And, you know, for me, that's kind of what drives me. And I would want, for other kids for that to drive them as well. So
another facet of your game, I'm curious personally. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are too. Your stance in the box is a little bit unorthodox. You're pretty upright from the right side. You point your bat kind of straight up and down, held loosely away from your body. Does that just happen to be where and how you feel comfortable, or is there any sort of mechanical cue that plays into? What's the story, if any, behind it?
I don't know. I'm just pretty comfortable there. At the same time, you know, a big deal for me is I want to be tall, you know, in my stance. And it's more when I'm landing and stuff like that. I don't want to ever collapse myself. I think that's when I get in trouble a lot. And kind of having that upright, you know, look to me is kind of an exaggerated feel for me personally to keep me up in my stance. You know, but other than that, yeah, it's a comfortable thing for me. I've been doing it for quite a while, and it's been working pretty good. So I'm going to stick with it for now.
10 more games to go here in the regular season. The team's in the middle of a postseason chase. What is your mood, your mentality as you come to the ballpark and then step on the field each day, and sort of what is the general feeling and vibes around you for this team as you guys chase the prize?
I think the vibes are good. You know, when you get this late in the season, and of course I haven't been with them the whole time, but when you get this late in the season, that's, you know, when guys' bodies are starting to hurt a little bit, guys are really trying to recover, trying to do the best they can to stay on the field. And, you know, it's just about, you know, creating your routine, stay with it. You know, guys in here are really good about not getting too down or too high when we win or lose games. I think that's really important as well. And, you know, we just have to keep striving. We're right there. We're right in the mix. So, you know, just keep doing our thing and see how it plays out.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time, Tanner.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Tanner Treadaway on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey everyone, welcome back to Big Hair Ballpark in Clearwater. No further information to share at this time, just a quick check-in and an update on what the field condition is looking like. Not pretty in the moment, unfortunately, although the rain has stopped falling for the time being. There are gigantic puddles all across the warning track, all the way from dugout to dugout, all along the outfield, and those puddles are going to take quite some time to drain, and once the tarp is finally able to be dumped, we're still waiting on a verdict on even that. Even then, it'll take a little bit until the playing field will be set to play on again, so again, no further updates at this time on when we'll be able to resume play. Clearwater currently leading 2-0 after two innings. Hopefully we'll have an update for you on the status of the game before too much longer. Still in a weather delay after the end of two innings here in Clearwater in the regular season finale here in 2022. A Marauders win and a Dunedin loss would mean that the Marauders make the postseason. That Dunedin game, by the way, is also currently in a delay. They are in the second inning as well. We'll check back hopefully with more information for you soon. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with Tamar Johnson, the Pirates' top overall prospect, according to Baseball America, just off his single-A debut yesterday. Tamar, when you first heard that after the FCL season ended that you were coming up to Bradenton, getting a little taste of single-A, what were your thoughts and your emotions when you heard that news?
I was very excited. You know, I want to move up. I want to challenge myself. And I was glad that, you know, the organization gave me a chance to, you know, be a part of this program. And I hope to, you know, make sure they make it to the playoffs.
Now, when you were in Los Angeles for the draft, you were there with your family. You were there around all the other draft prospects and a lot of former major league players. All the excitement and all the buzz. What was that atmosphere like and just being a part of that whole draft experience?
You know, the experience, the draft experience, the all-star experience, all of it was just amazing. And being in L.A., it was just, you know, amazing with all those stars and, you know, just watching their day-to-day life, how they go about everything and, you know, just, you know, being around them and, you know, just trying to see how they go about their life and everything like that is just amazing to, you know, be a part of it. And I was hopeful just to get the invite and, you know, experience the draft there.
And now, of course, a lot of folks were following the draft and watching on TV, looking at the results, pick after pick. Take us inside your brain for a moment. When, as the first couple of names got called and you felt that your name was getting closer, just sort of what thoughts and emotions were rolling through your brain? And when that pick finally came, what were your initial feelings?
It was amazing. You know, as the names were getting called, I just saw myself getting closer and closer to my dream and, you know, just being a part of a great organization and, you know, helping a team win. Every guy who got picked in front of me, I'm very grateful for those guys. I know those guys. I've played against them and, you know, I've watched over those guys and everything like that. So just seeing them, you know, make their dreams come true and, you know, me also making my dreams come true is just an amazing thing to see. And, you know, I hope for everybody to be in the big league soon.
Tamar Johnson, our guest on the pregame show tonight. You had the chance to go to Pittsburgh and take some swings on the field. Then you went on the TV broadcast. What were some of your favorite takeaways and your favorite moments from that whole phase of your experience post-draft?
You know, just being on that broadcast was, I think, was one of my favorite ones. You know, just being with, you know, the two broadcasters, they were amazing. You know, they gave me some nice questions, and I got to see the game from their view, which was cool. And, you know, taking BP and seeing all the big leaguers and, you know, watching how they go about their games and go about, you know, their day-to-day life, I mean, just made me more hungry to be, you know, in that position just like those guys and, you know, battling out to win a World Series with those guys. So, you know, it was amazing. That experience was everything I could ask for and everything I could dream of, and, you know, I'm very hopeful for it.
And now you talked about sort of rubbing shoulders with the big leaguers there, being down on the field. Let's go to your roots a little bit. Growing up in Atlanta, who are some of your idols and some of your major role models when it relates to both baseball and for life at large for you?
You know, I was a big you know, Hayward fan when he first came. You know, I remember him just, you know, tearing up the city. Everybody loved him and everybody loved how he goes about his business and plays baseball. You know, I watched Chipper Jones for a little bit. You know, I was watching his at-bats, you know, trying to study him and how he goes about the game. And, you know, just seeing everybody when they played against the Dodgers, them and Matt Kemp, you know, those are my favorite idols and favorite role models. And, you know, just being a part of that and watching baseball made me fall in love with the game that early.
You grew up playing a lot of shortstop in high school, but here in the professional ranks, a lot of time at second base. What has that transition been like for you in terms of learning the nuances and the angles between the two?
It's been amazing. You know, I got shortstops who have helped me with positioning and to help me how they go about their game. And, you know, it's just been an easy switch. You know, it's been an easy position. And, you know, I hope to be better and be a gold glover at it. And, you know, I hope to make every team better by playing second base.
Still very early on here for you, of course, as you just made your single-A debut yesterday. But long-term picture, what are you looking at? Where do you hope you end up when all is said and done?
You know, I just end up to be in the big leagues, you know, playing wherever they need me to play, whether it's shortstop, second base, third base, even outfield. You know, I just, you know, want to be a part of the big league team and, you know, help them win so much. And, you know, but it starts here, helping these guys win a, you know, single-A championship and, you know, just going through the ranks and learning a lot about my game, learning a lot about myself. So when I get in the big leagues, I'm ready. I'm ready to help the team that I'm on win.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time, Tamar.
Of course. Of course. Thank you, guys.
That was Tamar Johnson on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @the_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with infielder Brandon Dixon. Brandon, the team has won 9 the last 11 on a pretty good roll lately and winning the first two games of the series here in a big week here in Tampa. What is the feeling for you and for the team as a whole and just the overall energy and vibes, knowing that every day the team is one potential step closer to a playoff spot?
I think now that, you know, we're in, what is this, August 18th or whatever it is, I think now the mindset is more we show up with the expectation to win. Early on in the year, you know, obviously it was, we're young. The expectation was kind of, you know, we were trying to win, but we didn't know that we were going to win. Now it's like every time we step on the field, it's like, you know, the expectation is to win. And when that's not met is when it's, you know, obviously not great. So now it's knowing every time that, you know, you're on the field, you are going to win no matter what. And I think that's been the biggest change, I think.
Now, looking at how your season has gone on a more personal level, a big home run for you last night that went out to right field, and a lot of your harder hit balls this season have gone to that opposite field. Has that always been sort of the case for you, or is this a more of a departure from the norm?
I would say so. I mean, I was always told that, you know, all my power is to the right center area. But I think now that I'm kind of getting more acclimated and everything's kind of rolling, I'm starting to kind of find myself more. So, you know, last night, to be honest with you, I think I've hit that ball at our park probably 20 times. It's just Yankee Stadium is a little bit, you know, more right field oriented. So
anything you've picked up from the coaching staff in terms of adjustments, advice, or any way in which you've refined your game or your skills?
Man, I think, you know, the month of June, you know, was kind of my first time in pro ball, kind of hitting a downslope, I guess you could say. I ended up getting hurt in July, missed that month. And, you know, during that time, I kind of thought, and I was like, man, you know, during this time when I was, you know, in a slump, quote unquote, it was always like I was kind of focused on myself. It was never team oriented. And now it's just kind of been, you know, simple thoughts. However I can help us win is obviously kind of my answer right now. And that alone has been kind of the biggest change, you know, not trying to do too much in the box. And, you know, now it's just kind of, you know, whatever they give. And if not, then, you know, tip your cap.
Visiting with Brandon Dixon here on the pregame tonight. One thing that has always been there pretty much from the very get-go of the season has been your plate discipline. You've been drawing a lot of walks. You lead the team in that category despite having missed that time on the IL. A, has the walks and the discipline always been such a key part of your game? And B, how do you maintain that? How do you build that skill?
You know, last year I really kind of honed that skill. It was, you know, my whole thoughts are, you know, I've got one zone. If they, you know, happen to go there, then let's go. If not, then, you know, I'll take. And that's kind of where I've found myself. You know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, I've been focused on since I was, I think really the first time that I was funny, I used to hit with one of those eye patches. So I would do that, and I started that at, I think 17 or 18, and that kind of helped me learn my zone, where to hit, what not to hit, and ever since then I've just kind of been, you know, going from there. So
part of what you're saying there is you were destined to come into the Pirates organization, right?
That's right, exactly. That's it, exactly it.
Let's touch on the defense real quick here, Brendan. You've been playing a lot of first base this season, naturally a shortstop, but what has the transition been like for you in terms of learning first base, making those picks, and learning the footwork and everything?
It's been a challenge. I'll be first base is not as easy as I thought it would be. You know, obviously I've kind of learned if I can play everywhere, then, you know, the better, you know, opportunities I have. First base has kind of been a spot, where I have kind of fallen into. You know, I'll be honest, I don't feel 100% great over there just yet, but also I'm, you know, 40 games in at it or whatever. So, it's been a spot where I've had to learn. It hadn't been the greatest, but, you know, I'll get there. One of these days, I will get there, I promise.
And now as we work our way into the second half of August, Brandon, is there any sort of internal monologue or mantra or focus mentally that you've brought to the field with you every day, or is it just sort of every day is different for you?
You know, I try to take the same approach every day. You know, I figured out that it is a long season. And so if I can get, 1% better every day, then, in the long term, I will be just fine. And I think that's kind of the mindset, that I've had. And, on my, days I'm in the game, it's always been, 1% pregame. And then, in the game, just, whatever happens, happens. And I think that's kind of been the mindset that's, helped me the most.
Beautiful. Thank you for your time today, Brendan.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Brendan Dixon, our pregame guest tonight. We'll be back next with starting lineups. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with Marauders third baseman Jack Brannigan. Jack, just about a week into your professional career here. You joined the team on the road last week down in Fort Myers. Home run, a couple of hits in your first game, and a couple more since then. What's the overall experience been like for you here in pro ball?
It's been awesome so far. I've had a lot of fun. The guys are great. Wasn't really sure what to expect when I first got here, but, everyone kind of welcomed me in the clubhouse with open arms, and it's made the transition a lot easier and made it a lot easier to perform out there.
The Pirates made you their third-round pick in the draft this year out of Notre Dame. Walk us through a little bit the moment in time when you learned you had been picked, where you were, who you were with, and what sorts of thoughts and emotions were running through you.
Yeah, I was actually at home. It was just my family there. Kind of knew a couple of minutes before that I was going to get picked by the Pirates, and just kind of was waiting for my name to flash up on the TV. So kind of just waiting for the moment, and when I finally heard it was kind of just like pure excitement. And after the kind of the initial shock, you're just ready to go to work and ready to continue playing. And since a kid, you've dreamed of playing in professional baseball, so it's a dream come true. But at the same time, that's not the end goal. There's still a lot of work left to do. So just excitement, and also like I said, excitement to get going as well.
Jack Brannigan, our guest on the pregame show today. Going into college, you attended Notre Dame. Was baseball always it for you, or were there any other aspirations that came into the picture at any point growing up?
I played a lot of sports growing up, but kind of decided to focus on baseball prior on my freshman year of high school. But my dad went to Notre Dame, so kind of grew up a Notre Dame fan. Obviously, Notre Dame football is pretty big, so kind of had dreams of doing that for a little bit, and kind of had to make the decision that baseball is what I wanted to focus on, and kind of went from there. It worked out where I was able to go to Notre Dame and play baseball there, so pretty good experience.
And a trip to the College World Series this year, unfortunately, probably not the end that you and the guys were looking for, but in terms of just that overall ride into the tournament and the journey to get that far, what was that experience like for you, and what kind of memories do you hold from that?
Oh, it was an absolute blast. I'll always remember the moment when we clinched going to Omaha. That final out we got at Tennessee was just such a dream come true. Everyone, since I got to campus, we've been working towards going to Omaha, and so it kind of finally get to that point was such an awesome experience, and I'll never forget all the memories that I made this year, and especially the last month of the season, going through the regionals, super regionals, and eventually making it to Omaha. So just a great year and a great way to end my college career.
Now, you joined the Marauders here about a month to go in the regular season, right in the heat of a playoff chase. What has the feeling and the energy and the vibes been around like in the clubhouse, on the field, with this group of guys so far?
Yeah, like I said, it's a great group of guys. Everyone's having fun out there, really enjoying the game. So didn't really realize that we were, kind of in that hunt until I got here, and a couple guys had mentioned it. So, I'm just looking to add to the team and trying to help the team win as any way we can, and, just make it to the playoffs and see what happens.
Now, obviously, the Pirates held you in high regard in terms of where they selected you in the draft. But when it comes to where you feel like you're at in your game and in your development, what are any remaining goals you might have the rest of this season moving forward?
Yeah, there's always aspects of your game that you can continue to develop and get better at. And, I'm just looking forward to getting probably 100 more at-bats and kind of just developing more as a hitter. And then, in the field, you never know what you're going to get over there at third base. So just kind of continue to roll with the punches and, just continue to develop and get better at all aspects of my game.
Sounds good. Jack, thank you for your time tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That was Jack Brannigan on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans, this is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with outfielder Josiah Dixon. Josiah, looking good at the plate lately. You've been knocking the ball all over the field. Is there any adjustment you've made recently, or are you just playing locked in lately?
I feel like I've really been locked in. You know, I feel earlier I was looking at the numbers too much, really, and focusing on, like, what I was doing wrong instead of going out clear-minded and playing. So now, like, I feel like I've had a step up of a role as we only have 3 to 4 outfielders now, so just staying locked in for every day, I feel like, has really helped me a lot now.
Now, you were with the team here to begin the season last year. When you compare that period of time early in the season here with the Marauders last year to what you've done now since you joined the team in June, what are some differences you can point out and some positive adjustments and growth that you've made since then?
Yeah, well, last year I feel I was here earlier, so, you know, everyone was still playing, it was fun, but being on it this year, I came later in the year, and there's really a strive, and you can feel that we want to get that ring and make playoffs. So just the competitive, like, more reaching for a goal in that aspect has been a lot of fun.
In addition to the hits, you've all also got the stolen bases, of course. Has the speed always been such a big part of your game?
Oh, it's always been a big part. I remember being in Little League, and I hit a ground out, and I just jogged to first, and my dad pulled me from the game saying, hey, we got to run every time. And ever since then, you know the saying, speed kills. So,
for the maybe some of the younger ball players listening at home, what are some things you can do to maintain that speed and stay in good shape to continue to be a threat on the bases like you've been?
Yeah, I believe I love doing squats, back squat, front squat to help leg strength. And then I do certain wall drills that our trainers have given us. And just slight jogs throughout your workout to keep the legs hot. Just keep moving. Stay ready always.
Josiah Dixon, our guest on the pregame show tonight. I have to rewind to Sunday in Fort Myers when you scored on that wild pitch and you did this crazy tiptoe dance around the pitcher's tag, and somehow, some way, you were able to score. Take us through that moment and what your feelings or thoughts were, or did you just practically black out?
So it was a pass ball to first base dugout, which was kind of a hard read from third because you can't really see because the catcher blocks. So I kind of got a late jump, and I was coming in, and he made this ridiculous play. And I saw the pitcher catch it, and I knew if I went straight in, he'd tag me. So I went around him, and he just kind of laid on the plate. So I was like, all right, what am I going to do now? And I had to pull out one of the moves from the bag, and it worked. So
worked out okay in the end, didn't it? So growing up in Southern California, who were some of your role models in your life, and who were some of the athletes that you looked up to when you were young?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up really was my dad. He was a big, big role model for me. But, one of my role models looking up to was Yasiel Puig, because I never really watched baseball, but when I did, you know, L.A. Dodgers, so just seeing all the hype he had, you know, he was called the wild horse, like he'd run around fast, he had the cannon throw people out, and he could hit nukes, so I was like, wow, this guy brings entertainment to the game, I like the way he plays, so he was a big role model when he came down to L.A.
Was there a particular moment when you were growing up where you just sort of decided that, you know, I want to play baseball, or were there other aspirations that came along at any point?
Yes, so actually it was 2019. I was still a senior, draft was going on, and I had to be playing summer ball with some of my homies back home, and I hit for the cycle righty and took one extra at bat lefty and flew out. And I actually, like, had told the Pirates in the draft that I didn't want to go. But after that day, I was like, I think I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm ready. So I happened to call them back, and they still had my spot. And that was a huge change in moment in my life. And I appreciate them for every step.
From the time you joined the team here in about mid-June to now, quite a bit of roster turnover, but at the same time, plenty of guys who have remained with the team since when you first joined. What has the atmosphere and the camaraderie been like in the clubhouse and on the field, in the dugout, in terms of you guys trying continuing the quest toward another league title? What has just the feeling and the energy been like?
It's been amazing because, as you said, we've had a lot of people coming in and coming out. But we've had pitchers come up, and we've treated them like family as soon as they got in, have to go back down and feel sad, but you'll see them back at Pirate City. And then we got our two new additions, Jack Brannigan and Trace Gonzalez. And ever since they've been in the locker room, there hasn't been a skip or nothing. It seems like they fit in perfectly. So, I mean, I feel we just all get along as brothers. You know, we're one team. And as we said, we're chasing that ring. So you can't do that if you're not one. So everyone's on the right page.
Good vibes only, right?
Yep, California. Come on.
That's right. Thank you for your time today, Josiah.
Of course. No problem.
That was Josiah Dixon, our pregame guest. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with pitching coach Yorman Bizardo. Yorman here in Fort Myers. The first two games of the series went overall pretty well for the pitching staff. Last night a little bit rough, but you're looking at a pretty difficult lineup here, pretty challenging lineup that this Fort Myers team has. As a pitching coach, what sorts of lessons and takeaways and growth do you hope the pitching staff gains from facing such a challenging lineup?
I think one of the things, though, the main things as guys, is the mentality approach is just to attack them, because the guys are pretty, they take good at bats, but I think at the same time, the guys take advantage, because they make a lot of good contacts, so they contact a lot. So I think the main thing for guys is to stay aggressive with his pitches or his execution in zone and let them put the ball in play and, you know, have the defense help them. So
a lot of pitchers here this season are working with an automated strike zone for the first time in their careers. From your observation, how well have they adapted and reacted and adjusted to that?
It seems a little tough for them because, again, they get surprised with some of these calls that they kind of get at times. But at the same time, again, like, it goes back to them. If they had the mentality to attack the zone, it no matter that the system or the umpire is just the main thing or the main goal for now is that for them to attack the strike zone. So it's just the strike zone will be the same no matter what the system is.
And when it comes to, you know, close pitches that they think should be called strikes, so when you see that happen as a pitching coach and you see pitchers react sometimes to close ball and strike calls, what's your lesson to them in terms of just trying to overcome it and shake it off and move on?
Yeah, it's just the, like, if you are able to execute the pitch, you can do it, like, as many times as you want. As long as you kind of reset yourself and kind of don't let a call affect your game, you'll be able to execute the same pitch the next time.
Visiting with pitching coach Yorman Bizardo tonight. The team has regular meetings with pitchers and catchers, and you're involved before and after games, just to sort of discuss game plan and other things. For the fans listening at home, what are some of the topics and parts of the game that are discussed in these meetings with pitcher and catcher?
I think the more important is who's the best runner in the team. So kind of, most of us will pitch out of the stretch most of the time. So we kind of have to recognize who's the better runner on their team. All the things that we kind of look for weakness is who's the guy that can hit the ball out of the park. I think the most important thing, like recognize who can hurt the game, like who can hit the ball out of the park and also who can run.
Now you're working with a very young pitching staff, with this being the single A level, and with that, a lot of these players are in their first full length seasons, and you work with JJ in sort of helping monitor these guys' workloads and their pitch count and their innings, especially as we get later into the season. What sorts of efforts and thinking and puzzle pieces have to fit into place in order for you to monitor all those pitch counts and workloads to make it favorable for their development?
That's a plan that all the Pirates organization have come up with the guys that are being for the first time. We keep them under 65 sending pitches per outing as a starter, and relievers it's a little different. It just depends on how many times that they got the pitching appearance per week. But I think at least we have to give them three times on the mound as a reliever. But as starters, we're keeping them all 70 pitches pitch limit.
And finally, Valentin Linares is going to start tonight here in Fort Myers. How pleased are you with his progress and his growth this season? He's been pitching pretty well lately.
It's been pretty encouraging. Linares falling into a hole in the beginning, was dealing with some back issues at the beginning, but he was able to kind of still pitch in games, like being like overcoming those type of obstacles. So now he's feeling much better. He has continued to do a great job with Casey in the training room, and now he's able to, you know, to keep his strength level good. And now hopefully he stayed the same for the rest of the season.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time today, Yorman.
Thank you.
That was pitching coach Yorman Bizardo, our guest on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with catcher Wyatt Hendry. Wyatt, last night you came up with what proved to be the game-winning hit down the third baseline, but let's talk about your defense first and foremost. You threw out two would-be base stealers at second base last night. Between your controlling of the running game and your calling of pitches and just working the game altogether, how proud of you and how pleased are you at this stage with your progress defensively?
I'm pleased with where I'm at. At the start of the year, our goal was, you know, game calling and as well as, you know, honing in the defense as much as possible. Every day we're working on a specific thing with intent. So I'm pleased with it right now, but the job's never done and, you know, trying to work as hard as I can so that way I can progress up the ranks.
And JJ, former professional catcher, Gustavo Amaña, former catcher. What have you learned from those two guys that's helped you along defensively and even as a hitter?
You know, they let me go about each game and take it how I'm, you know, what I see the game as. And then after, you know, we sit down and we break down the game the best way possible. And they do a really good job of teaching me. And then the next day we, you know, pick a specific part of my game and then we'll, you know, hammer that away. So they've done a great job mentoring me and showing me why things are good, why things are bad. And, you know, I've learned more here in, I don't know, what are we at, 100 games than I have in a long time. So I'm really happy to be playing under them.
Working with Bubba Chandler and Darvin Garcia and Anthony Solomito last night, you guys were in lockstep all night long. How important to the working smoothly and efficiently through a game, how important is that relationship and just being on the same page between battery mates?
Yeah, it's almost everything. I do a lot of homework and study the hitters as much as I can, and I think the pitchers know that, and they also do their homework every night. So to be on the same page, you know, we have a pre-meeting to every game, and we had a plan of attack on every hitter, and you know, they stuck to it. They make my job easy. Bubba, Solometto, and Darwin, they all make my job really easy, so it's fun.
Wyatt Hendry, our guest on the pregame show tonight. A little bit different from the collegiate game in terms of a little more roster turnover. In college, you're dealing with pretty much the same pitching staff from the very first pitch of early spring until the end of the season. Here at Single A, you see a lot more turnover. You get the Florida Complex League, those guys mm-hmm. coming up. You get the guys who you start the season with, ideally going up to high A. So quite a bit of turnover. How do you as a catcher adapt to just trying to learn all these different personalities, these different pitch repertoires, and adjusting to that?
Yeah, for me, it's just having the most, you know, level-headed personality I can have so the guys know how to approach me in the best way possible, as well as, you know, when they come in or whether they're going away, being that guy there for them saying, hey, if you need anything, you know, let's work together. I'm on your side. I want to see your career progress no matter what. So it's difficult, you know, and there's a lot of guys that have gone through here this year that you're sad to see go, but if you're having your pitchers go up, that means you're doing your job. So all in all, just learning every single guy is a big task, but it's fun.
Earlier in the season, you were hit by a pitch, and that set you out of action for about a month. But once you got back at it and just sort of looking back at the hurdles you had to clear and sort of the obstacles you had to overcome, what did that process and the road back look like for you, and what do you think that did for you in the long run?
It just let me take a step back. You know, this season's been full of ups and downs. It's my first professional season. So just, you know, being able to take a step back and analyze what I've been doing the whole year was good. Obviously, you don't want it to be through injury, but understanding, you know, where I'm at, what I need to do to get to where I want to be was a nice change. And I tried to use it to the best of my ability and use the coaching staff that I have here especially.
And we'll get you out on this one, Wyatt. You grew up in Southern California, grew up a Red Sox fan, but certainly listened to some Dodgers games here and there in SoCal. Vince Scully, legendary voice of the Dodgers, sadly left us last night, passed away at the age of 94. What did he mean to you? Even though, again, you didn't grow up rooting for the Dodgers, what did he mean to you, though, as a baseball fan and for your overall love of the game?
I mean, anytime you'd hear his voice, even now if you hear it, it brings back childhood memories. So to hear of his passing is really tragic. And you know, he just reminds me of my childhood and how good my childhood was, and to see a legend like him,
you know, do what he loved for so many years. Gives a lot of people motivation in this game. So, you know, I couldn't have asked for any better childhood. And he, even though I wasn't a Dodgers fan, was the voice of my childhood.
Cleta Wyatt, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Wyatt Hendry on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with outfielder Tres Gonzalez. Tres, about a month now into your professional career, a month plus. Just touch on the whole experience so far in terms of being able to play in these big league spring training ballparks and learning from this coaching staff. Just what's the full experience been like for you so far?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. Every single ballpark's, there's been greats playing on every field. And whether it's at Lecom or here at Clearwater, I'm enjoying every moment that I can, just looking up in the stands and seeing a bunch of fans up there supporting us and even supporting the other team, just getting fans out here and just a different experience, and I'm grateful for it for sure.
Now, you're from Georgia, so obviously not far from here down in Florida. Did you have some sort of a group of family or friends at Leecon Park recently? It sounded like you had a group cheering for you in particular.
Yeah, so my girlfriend was here last week, and my mom, dad, and my mom's parents and my grandparents are here right now, actually, so they're here in Clearwater again. But it's great to see them and have them down here supporting me, and I love that they came down here to watch the games.
Always nice to have family and friends and loved ones around, for sure. Last several weeks, you know, pretty consistent contact, bat to ball. You've been on base a lot. Has there been anything that's clicked for you mechanically, or is this just sort of you doing you?
Yeah, it's not really anything mechanical. It just always starts in the cages before the game. Everybody from JJ to Casey to Mendy to Omanya just helping with me with my approach, and definitely just helping me put the best swing I can up at the plate and result in hard contact. So that's all I can hope for.
Has there been any particular nuggets or bits of wisdom or advice that the coaching staff shared with you that has really struck you in particular and helped you out?
Yeah, the biggest thing, the biggest difference between here and college is just the velocity increase, whether it's just a starter who's consistently mid-90s or a closer who's high 90s, touching 100. Just being on time with everything and reacting to off-speed is the biggest thing that I've gotten used to, and just always be on time for the fastball and react to everything else.
Tres Gonzalez, our guest on the pregame show tonight. Georgia Tech set a new program record this year with six players drafted in the first 10 rounds. What do you feel that means to the program as a whole, and just how do you feel that being a part of that program prepped you for professional baseball?
Yeah, we definitely had a really special team. Coach James Ramsey's our hitting coach, and he prepared us a ton. Coach Hall's an awesome, historic head coach and helped us a ton as well. And Danny Burrell, our pitching coach, he had a good amount of pitchers drafted as well. Just such a historic team, and teaching the right game of baseball, going about it the professional way, getting your work done, and if you need help and improvement with different things, then they'll reach out to you, but they kind of let you do your own thing. And that's the thing I like about Georgia Tech, and they help prepare you for the next level where I'm at right now. So
sticking with the collegiate athletics theme, tennis pretty popular in your family. Both of your parents played. Your sister also played. Is that something that you ever considered taking up, or is it something you maybe play in your time away from the baseball diamond? How has that figured into your life personally, if any?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm the only person in my family that didn't play collegiate tennis. So it's definitely been a big part of my life. I played before I started playing baseball. I played at the age of 4 and all the way up until sophomore, junior year of high school. So tennis definitely played a big role in my life, and I ultimately decided that I needed to pick one sport and pick baseball. Just that's where I find my joy and happiness in the game of baseball. I love tennis as well, but there's a special place in my heart for baseball, and I enjoy it every time I step on the field.
Born and raised in the Atlanta area, is there anyone in particular, maybe someone on the Braves or someone else from Major League Baseball, who you model your game after, or somebody who influences or influenced you in some particular way as a ball player?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia and Atlanta in particular just has so many great athletes, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, anything, going pro every year. So nobody from the specific Atlanta area that I mentor my game after, but I always love watching Freddie Freeman play. It's tough watching him go from the Braves to the Dodgers, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and I understand it. So I really like watching his at-bats and how he goes about his professional at-bats. So whenever I see that the Dodgers are playing this year, I definitely tune in to watch a few at-bats from Freddie Freeman.
We'll get you out on this one, Tress. With five games to go here in the regular season this week in Clearwater, team still has a chance at a postseason, trying to keep on fighting. What's your mentality and your mindset as you come to the ballpark each day right now?
Yeah, right now it's a really big week, really important five games remaining, so can't really focus on the outcomes of the games these next few days, but focus on one inning at a time and get all of our outs and have crucial at-bats pay off. So just take it one at-bat at a time and pass it to the next guy.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you for your time, Tress.
Thank you. Have a good one.
That was Tress Gonzalez on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Thank you. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with left-hander Cy Nielsen. Cy, your first professional season here in 2022, just drafted in the eighth round this year by the Buccos. What's the professional experience been like for you so far?
It's been a lot of downtime, honestly. A lot of baseball and a lot of video games for me. Just started school, so that's kind of taking up part of my time. But split my time between those three, that's pretty much it. So,
what's your go-to video game during your downtime?
I've been playing a lot of Warzone lately, a lot of resurgence with my boys.
Sounds like a good time. So as we look back on your outing last night, you pitched the final two innings of the game. Not the final outcome of the game that the team wanted necessarily, but you look pretty good out there. What was working for you so well?
I think that over the past few outings, I've just kind of been finding my rhythm, finding my timing. And then last night, I felt like I kind of tied it all together. Didn't exactly have my slider and my changeup working, but I felt like I could command my fastball pretty well. So I had that working along with my timing. I felt pretty well with it. So.
Now, your roots are in Utah, born and raised in the state, went to BYU. Nearest major league team would be the Rockies, I imagine. Point being, what sort of hooked you onto baseball in the first place growing up in Utah?
I've played my whole entire life. I played other sports. I played football when I was in sixth grade. That was the most recent sport, and I didn't love it. I was always looking forward to going to baseball practice. Couldn't really fall in love with football or anything else. So I think that growing up doing it, I kind of fell in love with the process, the hard work, the failure, and kind of bouncing back. So with all those things, I kind of just grew up in it and fell in love with it. So,
Cy Nielsen, our guest on the pregame show tonight. Your dad actually played some college ball. Did that have any influence on you in your decision to pursue baseball long term?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. We love baseball as a family, and he pushed me to play baseball. We'd always go play in the backyard, whatnot. He'll play catch with me every once in a while, but when I'm back home. But, yeah, other than that, I'd say yeah, but not a huge part.
Who were some of the major leaguers you looked up to when you were younger, if any, and who may have played another role in sort of your formative years in growing up as a ball player?
Yeah, so back to my dad, we were big Red Sox fans, always watching games, always watching like the top 100 plays, whatever. I would say my top two are John Lester and David Price, back when they were both Red Sox. I like them both. They're smooth. Their mechanics, they kind of like mine. Love the way they compete. John Lester's a big hunter. I love going hunting. But yeah, I just love those two. Both left-handed.
I was gonna say both left-handed too. That's easy for you. And so, being a Red Sox fan, you actually had the opportunity to go pitch in the Cape Cod League for a couple of summers. That had to have been pretty special for you.
Yeah, it was really cool. Went out there. Me and my mom drove out from Utah. Went to Fenway Park. Yeah, it was a long drive. Went out to Fenway Park. It was beautiful. We had to fly my dad out. We all went to a game together. It was insane. Fenway Park, seeing the look on his face is just like starstruck almost. But yeah, playing out there was great. I was out there for two summers. Fell in love with the town, the people. They're very loyal fans. Learned a lot about myself. Felt like it really prepared me for pro ball. So.
You joined the team here in Bradenton just a couple of weeks ago, basically right in the heart of a postseason chase. As you come to the ballpark each day, you sit in the bullpen or you take the mound. What are the feelings like for you knowing what's at stake right now?
There's a lot at stake, to be honest with you. We win, then even lose, and we're right there in first place. So it's kind of based on who's working well that night. Calls go our way, calls don't go our way. That's kind of what the games are decided on. So all I know is I can control what I can control. When I'm called upon, I do the best I can, and I know that I can help the other guys prepare whatever they need to do. But yeah, it's just another baseball game in the end, but you gotta win some more than you lose.
That's right. Excellent, Cy. Thank you for your time today.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
That was Cy Nielsen on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans, this is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders' Twitter handle, @the_Marauders.
With the Indianapolis Indians, I'm Jack McMullen. The Indians have had a back-and-forth week in Omaha in their second straight series on the road. After taking the final five games in Louisville last week, the Indians and Storm Chasers have continued to swap tight wins. While the team results have become more sporadic, offensive production has remained steady. In outfielder Jared Oliva's last 20 games, he's flying to the 400 marker, collecting 28 hits in his last 70 at-bats. Mason Martin has four extra base hits in as many games and is top 10 in the International League in that category. But the big contributions have come from two guys that recently got to Indy from Altoona. Catcher Blake Sable has been magnificent, clubbing three homers in his first 10 games with the team, hitting right around 300 and showing his defensive versatility, playing catcher and left field effectively. But right-hander Luis Ortiz stole the show on Thursday night, throwing six hitless innings and punching out nine Omaha hitters, dominating with a fastball that reached the triple digits. The Indians wrapped the road trip this afternoon with the Indians' debut of recent waiver claim Peter Solomon. They then hit the road back to Indy and start a stretch of 12 games in 12 days at Victory Field on Tuesday night against Toledo. With the Indians, I'm Jack McMullen.
With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses. The Curve have put themselves in position to make a late run at the second half title with four wins out of five to begin their series with the first place Erie Seawolves this week. On Friday night, right-hander Quinn Priester spun another brilliant outing, perhaps his best of the season, scattering four base runners over seven scoreless innings with five strikeouts on just 75 pitches. Priester was dialed in from pitch one, induced a pair of double play balls early in the game, which helped him work deep. And for pitching coach Drew Bennis, he was really impressed by nearly every aspect of Priester's outing.
You know, when you're not having to worry about the pitch count, it's always a good day. So just his ability to attack the zone and get quick outs, use a sinker. His other weapons were explosive too, so he was able to use the breaking ball early in the count. He was able to use the slider late to put guys away. The changeup was good, like really good all around. But the biggest part for me was just the quick outs and the efficiency, and that's usually what buys you the chance to get deeper into the game.
Priester is the rare pitcher that features both a curveball and slider, and on Friday night he had both working to perfection, which isn't always the case for a starting pitcher.
Guys that have two breaking balls usually have one or the other. It's kind of rare when you have both. More outings than not, one's feeling better than the other one is, and you know, part of it is, you know, certain ones play better to righties and lefties early in the count, late in the count. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that goes into it. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, usually it's what he has feel for that day and what he has confidence in, because both of them are really good and he can use both of them in zone or strike the ball out of zone.
Altoona wraps up their series with Erie on Sunday at 1:35 with Aaron Shortridge on the mound and remain right on the edge of the second half playoff race with seven games to go. With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with outfielder Tanner Treadaway. Tanner, heck of a game for you yesterday afternoon. You got your first professional home run off your back. How did that swing feel? And did you know immediately that it was going out?
It felt awesome. No, I didn't know. I was sprinting out of the box, looking for a double, hopefully maybe a triple or whatever. And I looked up around second base and everybody was like waving their finger around. I was like, man, I actually got it. So, it was exciting and, got a good pitch to do it with.
Looking back at your pro experience so far, you had some time in the FCL, then joined the Marauders here earlier this month. What has the experience been like for you just in terms of getting to work with the coaches down there in the complex now here with Bradenton, getting to know your teammates? How's it all felt so far?
It's been awesome. For me, it's been, a great learning experience coming from college and getting into the pro atmosphere, kind of developing a routine every day, trying to figure out the most consistent way to go about things. That's been the biggest thing for me. And so it's just been great. It's been an awesome learning opportunity for me. And I'm just glad to be doing it with these group of guys.
Now you touched on your college experience a little bit. You went to Oklahoma, made a run in the College World Series, not quite the end result in the final round that you guys would have liked, but a remarkable run nonetheless. When you sort of take into account the experience and just the thrill of playing on such a big stage, what was that like for you?
It was unbelievable. It's really a kid's dream, I think. When we got there, it was you're just surrounded by people interviewing you, and you just you're the walk of the talk there. And so it was awesome. It was a great experience. The team that we were able to do it with was what made it even better, because that group of guys, they were really selfless group of people, and they were just great to be around. They made it that much better, and the coaches were that way too. So it was awesome. It was also fun playing in front of 30,000 people. So yeah, I had a great time.
Visiting with Tanner Treadaway, Marauders outfielder, here on the pregame tonight. Let's go back to your roots a little bit. Growing up in Texas, you grew up near the Fort Worth, Dallas area. Typical for the area, Rangers, Cowboys fan, or were your sports rooting interests elsewhere?
I'd say Rangers, Cowboys fan for the most part. Originally, I'm from South Texas, so I grew up more of a Astros fan to begin with, and then but when we moved and stuff, I kind of made the switch as well. So, I'd say Rangers and Cowboys for sure.
How do you feel about the Cowboys' chances this season? NFL opening week's coming up.
I don't know. I mean, you always hope for the best, but it seems like, they find a way to let you down. I hate to say it, but, I don't know. We'll see what they got this year.
Who were your sports idols growing up, and then any other major influences in your life, whether inside or outside of sports?
I'd say Jeter was probably the biggest influence for me. I got to see him play when I was a kid. Got to see him in person a little bit as a kid. So I really always looked up to him. And now that the captain's out and everything, it's been even cooler to kind of see how it was when he was in his prime and stuff like that. So. I've always looked up to him. Try to carry myself the same way he carries himself, and just be level-headed wherever you are, whatever you're doing.
Was there anybody else in your life along the way who maybe sort of encouraged you to pursue baseball, or anyone who you feel was a major influence to you otherwise?
Yeah, my dad and my grandpa for sure. They both coached baseball a long time, played a long time, so. I was just kind of born into it a little bit, but they have just been my greatest supporters, and one of the best things about them is they've never pushed a sport on me. They've never gotten upset about the sport or anything like that. They've always just let me be me with it and taught me everything they knew, and so I'm very thankful for that and for them. And yeah,
you mentioned how Derek Jeter is one of your biggest major league influences growing up, and I think folks who have watched you play to this point kind of get the idea that his hard-nosed style of play, his hustle, really transferred over to you and your passion for the game. You've made some impressive diving plays out there and some great athletic plays out there in the outfield during your time as a Marauder. For maybe some of the younger listeners tonight, what are some ways in which you develop that those instincts and those skills and that know-how to kind of know when to lay out for a ball and know which routes to take? How does that all develop?
You know, I think that kind of started for me, you know, at a really young age. You know, I was always kind of the smaller, the not so strong, not so talented kid. And so I had to make up my game for the little things. And that was playing hard and doing the right things on the field, carrying yourself the right way. So, you know, I was kind of always driven that way, by that. And, you know, I would say, you know, for me, it's you never know who's watching you. And for me, you know, if I got a little kid out there, he's looking up to me, you know, in the stands, then I want to be sure that I give my best game to him. And, you know, for me, that's kind of what drives me. And I would want, for other kids for that to drive them as well. So
another facet of your game, I'm curious personally. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are too. Your stance in the box is a little bit unorthodox. You're pretty upright from the right side. You point your bat kind of straight up and down, held loosely away from your body. Does that just happen to be where and how you feel comfortable, or is there any sort of mechanical cue that plays into? What's the story, if any, behind it?
I don't know. I'm just pretty comfortable there. At the same time, you know, a big deal for me is I want to be tall, you know, in my stance. And it's more when I'm landing and stuff like that. I don't want to ever collapse myself. I think that's when I get in trouble a lot. And kind of having that upright, you know, look to me is kind of an exaggerated feel for me personally to keep me up in my stance. You know, but other than that, yeah, it's a comfortable thing for me. I've been doing it for quite a while, and it's been working pretty good. So I'm going to stick with it for now.
10 more games to go here in the regular season. The team's in the middle of a postseason chase. What is your mood, your mentality as you come to the ballpark and then step on the field each day, and sort of what is the general feeling and vibes around you for this team as you guys chase the prize?
I think the vibes are good. You know, when you get this late in the season, and of course I haven't been with them the whole time, but when you get this late in the season, that's, you know, when guys' bodies are starting to hurt a little bit, guys are really trying to recover, trying to do the best they can to stay on the field. And, you know, it's just about, you know, creating your routine, stay with it. You know, guys in here are really good about not getting too down or too high when we win or lose games. I think that's really important as well. And, you know, we just have to keep striving. We're right there. We're right in the mix. So, you know, just keep doing our thing and see how it plays out.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time, Tanner.
Thank you. Thank you.
That was Tanner Treadaway on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with Termar Johnson, the Pirates' top overall prospect, according to Baseball America, just off his single-A debut yesterday. Termar, when you first heard that after the FCL season ended, that you were coming up to Bradenton, getting a little taste of single-A, what were your thoughts and your emotions when you heard that news?
I was very excited. You know, I want to move up. I want to challenge myself. And I was glad that, you know, the organization gave me a chance to, you know, be a part of this program. And I hope to, you know, make sure they make it to the playoffs.
Now, when you were in Los Angeles for the draft, you were there with your family. You were there around all the other draft prospects and a lot of former major league players. All the excitement and all the buzz. What was that atmosphere like and just being a part of that whole draft experience?
You know, the experience, the draft experience, the all-star experience, all of it was just amazing. And being in L.A. was just, you know, amazing with all those stars and, you know, just watching their day-to-day life, how they go about everything and, you know, just, you know, being around them and, you know, just trying to see how they go about their life and everything like that is just amazing to, you know, be a part of it. And I was hopeful just to get the invite and, you know, experience the draft there.
And now, of course, a lot of folks were following the draft and watching on TV, looking at the results, pick after pick. Take us inside your brain for a moment. When, as the first couple of names got called and you felt that your name was getting closer, just sort of what thoughts and emotions were rolling through your brain? And when that pick finally came, what were your initial feelings?
It was amazing. You know, as the names were getting called, I just saw myself getting closer and closer to my dream and, you know, just being a part of a great organization and, you know, helping a team win. Every guy who got picked in front of me, I'm very grateful for those guys. I know those guys. I've played against them and, you know, I've watched over those guys and everything like that. So just seeing them, you know, make their dreams come true and, you know, me also making my dreams come true is just an amazing thing to see. And, you know, I hope for everybody to be in the big league soon.
Termar Johnson, our guest on the pregame show tonight. You had the chance to go to Pittsburgh and take some swings on the field. Then you went on the TV broadcast. What were some of your favorite takeaways and your favorite moments from that whole phase of your experience post-draft?
You know, just being on that broadcast was, I think, was one of my favorite ones. You know, just being with, you know, the two broadcasters, they were amazing. You know, they gave me some nice questions, and I got to see the game from their view, which was cool. And, you know, taking BP and seeing all the big leaguers and, you know, watching how they go about their games and go about, you know, their day-to-day life, I mean, just made me more hungry to be, you know, in that position just like those guys and, you know, battling out to win World Series with those guys. So, you know, it was amazing. That experience was everything I could ask for and everything I could dream of, and, you know, I'm very hopeful for it.
And now you talked about sort of rubbing shoulders with the big leaguers there, being down on the field. Let's go to your roots a little bit. Growing up in Atlanta, who are some of your idols and some of your major role models when it relates to both baseball and for life at large for you?
You know, I was a big you know, Hayward fan when he first came. You know, I remember him just, you know, tearing up the city. Everybody loving him and everybody loved how he goes about his business and plays baseball. You know, I watched Chipper Jones for a little bit. You know, I was watching his at-bats, you know, trying to study him and how he goes about the game. And, you know, just seeing everybody when they played against the Dodgers, them and Matt Kemp, you know, those are my favorite idols and favorite role models. And, you know, just being a part of that and watching baseball made me fall in love with the game that early.
You've grew up playing a lot of shortstop in high school, but here in the professional ranks, a lot of time at second base. What has that transition been like for you in terms of learning the nuances and the angles between the two?
It's been amazing. You know, I got shortstops who have helped me with positioning and to help me how they go about their game. And, you know, it's just been an easy switch. You know, it's been an easy position. And, you know, I hope to be better and be a gold glover at it. And, you know, I hope to make every team better by playing second base.
Still very early on here for you, of course, as you just made your single-A debut yesterday. But long-term picture, what are you looking at? Where do you hope you end up when all is said and done?
You know, I just end up to be in the big leagues, you know, playing wherever they need me to play, whether it's shortstop, second base, third base, even outfield. You know, I just, you know, want to be a part of the big league team and, you know, help them win so much. And, you know, but it starts here, helping these guys win a, you know, single-A championship and, you know, just going through the ranks and learning a lot about my game, learning a lot about myself. So when I get in the big leagues, I'm ready. I'm ready to help the team that I'm on win.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time, Termar.
Of course. Of course. Thank you, guys.
That was Termar Johnson on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with infielder Brandon Dixon. Brandon, the team has won 9 the last 11 on a pretty good roll lately and winning the first two games of the series here in a big week here in Tampa. What is the feeling for you and for the team as a whole and just the overall energy and vibes, knowing that every day the team is one potential step closer to a playoff spot?
I think now that, you know, we're in, what is this, August 18th or whatever it is, I think now the mindset is more we show up with the expectation to win. Early on in the year, you know, obviously it was, we're young. The expectation was kind of, you know, we were trying to win, but we didn't know that we were going to win. Now it's like every time we step on the field, it's like, you know, the expectation is to win. And when that's not met is when it's, you know, obviously not great. So now it's knowing every time that, you know, you're on the field, you are going to win no matter what. And I think that's been the biggest change, I think.
Now, looking at how your season has gone on a more personal level, a big home run for you last night that went out to right field, and a lot of your harder hit balls this season have gone to that opposite field. Has that always been sort of the case for you, or is this a more of a departure from the norm?
I would say so. I mean, I was always told that, you know, all my power is to the right center area. But I think now that I'm kind of getting more acclimated and everything's kind of rolling, I'm starting to kind of find myself more. So, you know, last night, to be honest with you, I think I've hit that ball at our park probably 20 times. It's just Yankee Stadium is a little bit, you know, more right field oriented. So
anything you've picked up from the coaching staff in terms of adjustments, advice, or any way in which you've refined your game or your skills?
Man, I think, you know, the month of June, you know, was kind of my first time in Pro Bowl, kind of hitting a downslope, I guess you could say. I ended up getting hurt in July, missed that month. And, you know, during that time, I kind of thought, and I was like, man, you know, during this time when I was, you know, in a slump, quote unquote, it was always like I was kind of focused on myself. It was never team oriented. And now it's just kind of been, you know, simple thoughts. However I can help us win is obviously kind of my answer right now. And that alone has been kind of the biggest change, you know, not trying to do too much in the box. And, you know, now it's just kind of, you know, whatever they give. And if not, then, you know, tip your cap.
Visiting with Brandon Dixon here on the pregame tonight. One thing that has always been there pretty much from the very get-go of the season has been your plate discipline. You've been drawing a lot of walks. You lead the team in that category despite having missed that time on the IL. A, had the walks and the discipline always been such a key part of your game? And B, how do you maintain that? How do you build that skill?
You know, last year I really kind of honed that skill. It was, you know, my whole thoughts are, you know, I've got one zone. If they, you know, happen to go there, then let's go. If not, then, you know, I'll take. And that's kind of where I've found myself. You know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, I've been focused on since I was, I think really the first time that I was funny. I used to hit with one of those eye patches. So I would do that, and I started that at, I think 17 or 18, and that kind of helped me learn my zone, where to hit, what not to hit, and ever since then, I've just kind of been, you know, going from there. So
part of what you're saying there is you were destined to come into the Pirates organization, right?
That's right, exactly. That's it, exactly it.
Let's touch on the defense real quick here, Brendan. You've been playing a lot of first base this season, naturally a shortstop, but what has the transition been like for you in terms of learning first base, making those picks, and learning the footwork and everything?
It's been a challenge. First base is not as easy as I thought it would be. You know, obviously I've kind of learned if I can play everywhere, then, you know, the better, you know, opportunities I have. First base has kind of been a spot, where I have kind of fallen into. You know, I'll be honest, I don't feel 100% great over there just yet, but also I'm, you know, 40 games in at it or whatever. So, it's been a spot where I've had to learn. It hadn't been the greatest, but, you know, I'll get there. One of these days, I will get there, I promise.
And now as we work our way into the second half of August, Brandon, is there any sort of internal monologue or mantra or focus mentally that you've brought to the field with you every day, or is it just sort of every day is different for you?
You know, I try to take the same approach every day. You know, I figured out that it is a long season. And so if I can get, 1% better every day, then, in the long term, I will be just fine. And I think that's kind of the mindset, that I've had. And, on my, days I'm in the game, it's always been, 1% pregame. And then, in the game, just, whatever happens. And I think that's kind of been the mindset that's, helped me the most.
Beautiful. Thank you for your time today, Brendan.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Brendan Dixon, our pregame guest tonight. We'll be back next with starting lineups. This is the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with Marauders third baseman Jack Brannigan. Jack, just about a week into your professional career here. You joined the team on the road last week down in Fort Myers. Home run, a couple of hits in your first game, and a couple more since then. What's the overall experience been like for you here in pro ball?
It's been awesome so far. I've had a lot of fun. The guys are great. Wasn't really sure what to expect when I first got here, but, everyone kind of welcomed me in the clubhouse with open arms, and it's made the transition a lot easier and made it a lot easier to perform out there.
The Pirates made you their third-round pick in the draft this year out of Notre Dame. Walk us through a little bit the moment in time when you learned you had been picked, where you were, who you were with, and what sorts of thoughts and emotions were running through you.
Yeah, I was actually at home. It was just my family there. Kind of knew a couple of minutes before that I was going to get picked by the Pirates, and just kind of was waiting for my name to flash up on the TV. So kind of just waiting for the moment, and when I finally heard it was kind of just like pure excitement. And after the kind of the initial shock, you're just ready to go to work and ready to continue playing. And since a kid, you've dreamed of playing in professional baseball, so it's a dream come true. But at the same time, that's not the end goal. There's still a lot of work left to do. So just excitement, and also like I said, excitement to get going as well.
Jack Brannigan, our guest on the pregame show today. Going into college, you attended Notre Dame. Was baseball always it for you, or were there any other aspirations that came into the picture at any point growing up?
I played a lot of sports growing up, but kind of decided to focus on baseball prior to my freshman year of high school. But my dad went to Notre Dame, so kind of grew up a Notre Dame fan. Obviously, Notre Dame football is pretty big, so kind of had dreams of doing that for a little bit, and kind of had to make the decision that baseball is what I wanted to focus on, and kind of went from there. It worked out where I was able to go to Notre Dame and play baseball there, so pretty good experience.
And a trip to the College World Series this year, unfortunately, probably not the end that you and the guys were looking for, but in terms of just that overall ride into the tournament and the journey to get that far, what was that experience like for you, and what kind of memories do you hold from that?
Oh, it was an absolute blast. I'll always remember the moment when we clinched going to Omaha. That final out we got at Tennessee was just such a dream come true. Everyone, since I got to campus, we've been working towards going to Omaha, and so it kind of finally get to that point was such an awesome experience, and I'll never forget all the memories that I made this year, and especially the last month of the season, going through the regionals, super regionals, and eventually making it to Omaha. So just a great year and a great way to end my college career.
Now, you joined the Marauders here about a month to go in the regular season, right in the heat of a playoff chase. What has the feeling and the energy and the vibes been around like in the clubhouse, on the field, with this group of guys so far?
Yeah, like I said, it's a great group of guys. Everyone's having fun out there, really enjoying the game. So didn't really realize that we were, kind of in that hunt until I got here, and a couple guys had mentioned it. So, I'm just looking to add to the team and trying to help the team win as any way we can, and, just make it to the playoffs and see what happens.
Now, obviously, the Pirates held you in high regard in terms of where they selected you in the draft. But when it comes to where you feel like you're at in your game and in your development, what are any remaining goals you might have the rest of this season moving forward?
Yeah, there's always aspects of your game that you can continue to develop and get better at. And, I'm just looking forward to getting probably 100 more at-bats and kind of just developing more as a hitter. And then, in the field, you never know what you're going to get over there at third base. So just kind of continue to roll with the punches and, just continue to develop and get better at all aspects of my game.
Sounds good. Jack, thank you for your time tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That was Jack Brannigan on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans, this is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with outfielder Josiah Dixon. Josiah, looking good at the plate lately. You've been knocking the ball all over the field. Is there any adjustment you've made recently, or are you just playing locked in lately?
I feel like I've really been locked in. You know, I feel earlier I was looking at the numbers too much, really, and focusing on, like, what I was doing wrong instead of going out clear-minded and playing. So now, like, I feel like I've had a step up of a role as we only have 3 to 4 outfielders now. So just staying locked in for every day, I feel like, has really helped me a lot now.
Now, you were with the team here to begin the season last year. When you compare that period of time early in the season with the Marauders last year to what you've done now since you joined the team in June, what are some differences you can point out and some positive adjustments and growth that you've made since then?
Yeah, well, last year I feel I was here earlier, so, you know, everyone was still playing, it was fun, but being on it this year, I came later in the year, and there's really a strive, and you can feel that we want to get that ring and make playoffs. So just the competitive, like, more reaching for a goal in that aspect has been a lot of fun.
In addition to the hits, you've all also got the stolen bases, of course. Has the speed always been such a big part of your game?
Oh, it's always been a big part. I remember being in Little League, and I hit a ground out, and I just jogged to first, and my dad pulled me from the game saying, hey, we got to run every time. And ever since then, you know the saying, speed kills. So,
for the maybe some of the younger ball players listening at home, what are some things you can do to maintain that speed and stay in good shape to continue to be a threat on the bases like you've been?
Yeah, I believe I love doing squats, back squat, front squat to help leg strength. And then I do certain wall drills that our trainers have given us. And just slight jogs throughout your workout to keep the legs hot. Just keep moving. Stay ready always.
Josiah Dixon, our guest on the pregame show tonight. I have to rewind to Sunday in Fort Myers when you scored on that wild pitch and you did this crazy tiptoe dance around the pitcher's tag, and somehow, some way, you were able to score. Take us through that moment and what your feelings or thoughts were, or did you just practically black out?
So it was a pass ball to first base dugout, which was kind of a hard read from third because you can't really see because the catcher blocks. So I kind of got a late jump, and I was coming in, and he made this ridiculous play. And I saw the pitcher catch it, and I knew if I went straight in, he'd tag me. So I went around him, and he just kind of laid on the plate. So I was like, all right, what am I going to do now? And I had to pull out one of the moves from the bag, and it worked. So
worked out okay in the end, didn't it? So growing up in Southern California, who were some of your role models in your life, and who were some of the athletes that you looked up to when you were young?
Yeah, so, I mean, growing up really was my dad. He was a big, big role model for me. But, one of my role models looking up to is Yasiel Puig, because I never really watched baseball, but when I did, you know, L.A. Dodgers, so just seeing all the hype he had, you know, he was called the wild horse, like he'd run around fast, he had the cannon throw people out, and he could hit nukes, so I was like, wow, this guy brings entertainment to the game, I like the way he plays, so he was a big role model when he came down to L.A.
Was there a particular moment when you were growing up where you just sort of decided that, you know, I want to play baseball, or were there other aspirations that came along at any point?
Yes. So actually, it was 2019. I was still a senior. Draft was going on. And I had to be playing summer ball with some of my homies back home. And I hit for the cycle righty and took one extra at bat lefty and flew out. And I actually, like, had told the Pirates in the draft that I didn't want to go. But after that day, I was like, I think I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. I'm ready. So I happened to call them back, and they still had my spot. And that was a huge change in moment in my life. And I appreciate them for every step.
From the time you joined the team here in about mid-June to now, quite a bit of roster turnover, but at the same time, plenty of guys who have remained with the team since when you first joined. What has the atmosphere and the camaraderie been like in the clubhouse and on the field, in the dugout, in terms of you guys trying continuing the quest toward another league title? What has just the feeling and the energy been like?
It's been amazing because, as you said, we've had a lot of people coming in and coming out. But we've had pitchers come up, and we've treated them like family as soon as they got in, have to go back down and feel sad, but you'll see them back at Pirate City. And then we got our two new additions, Jack Brannigan and Trace Gonzalez. And ever since they've been in the locker room, there hasn't been a skip or nothing. It seems like they fit in perfectly. So, I mean, I feel we just all get along as brothers. You know, we're one team. And as we said, we're chasing that ring. So you can't do that if you're not one. So everyone's on the right page.
Good vibes only, right?
California, come on.
That's right. Thank you for your time today, Josiah.
Of course, no problem.
That was Josiah Dixon, our pregame guest. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with pitching coach Yorman Bizardo. Yorman here in Fort Myers. The first two games of the series went overall pretty well for the pitching staff. Last night a little bit rough, but you're looking at a pretty difficult lineup here, pretty challenging lineup that this Fort Myers team has. As a pitching coach, what sorts of lessons and takeaways and growth do you hope the pitching staff gains from facing such a challenging lineup?
I think one of the things, though, the main things as guys is the mentality approach is just to attack them, because the guys are pretty, they take good at bats, but I think at the same time the guys take advantage because they make a lot of good contacts, so they contact a lot. So I think the main thing for guys is to stay aggressive with his pitches or his execution in zone and let them put the ball in play and, you know, have the defense help them. So
a lot of pitchers here this season are working with an automated strike zone for the first time in their careers. From your observation, how well have they adapted and reacted and adjusted to that?
It seems a little tough for them because, again, they get surprised with some of these calls that they kind of get at times. But at the same time, again, like, it goes back to them. If they had the mentality to attack the zone, it no matter that the system or the umpire is just the main thing or the main goal for now is that for them to attack the strike zone. So it's just the strike zone will be the same no matter what the system is.
And when it comes to, you know, close pitches that they think should be called strikes, so when you see that happen as a pitching coach, and you see pitchers react sometimes to close ball and strike calls, what's your lesson to them in terms of just trying to overcome it and shake it off and move on?
Yeah, it's just the, like, if you are able to execute the pitch, you can do it, like, as many times as you want. As long as you kind of reset yourself and kind of don't let a call affect your game, you'll be able to execute the same pitch the next time.
Visiting with pitching coach Yorman Bizardo tonight. The team has regular meetings with pitchers and catchers, and you're involved before and after games just to sort of discuss game plan and other things. For the fans listening at home, what are some of the topics and parts of the game that are discussed in these meetings with pitcher and catcher?
I think the more important is who's the best runner in the team. So kind of because most of us will pitch out of the stretch most of the time. So we kind of have to recognize who's the better runner on their team. All the things that we kind of look for weakness is who's the guys that can hit the ball out of the park. I think the most important thing, like recognize who can hurt the game, like who can hit the ball out of the park and also who can run.
Now you're working with a very young pitching staff, with this being the single A level, and with that, a lot of these players are in their first full length seasons, and you work with JJ in sort of helping monitor these guys' workloads and their pitch count and their innings, especially as we get later into the season. What sorts of efforts and thinking and puzzle pieces have to fit into place in order for you to monitor all those pitch counts and workloads to make it favorable for their development?
That's a plan that the organization have come up with the guys that are being for the first time. We keep them under 65 sending pitches per outing as a starter, and relievers, it's a little different. It just depends on how many times that they got the pitching appearance per week. But I think at least we have to give them three times on the mound as a reliever. But as starters, we're keeping them 70 pitches pitch limit.
And finally, Valentin Linares is going to start tonight here in Fort Myers. How pleased are you with his progress and his growth this season? He's been pitching pretty well lately.
It's been pretty encouraging. Linares falling into a hole in the beginning, was dealing with some back issues at the beginning, but he was able to kind of still pitch in games, like being like overcoming those type of obstacles. So now he's feeling much better. He has continued to do a great job with Casey in the training room, and now he's able to, you know, to keep his strength level good. And now hopefully he stayed the same for the rest of the season.
Fantastic. Thank you for your time today, Yorman.
Thank you.
That was pitching coach Yorman Bizardo, our guest on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with catcher Wyatt Hendry. Wyatt, last night you came up with what proved to be the game-winning hit down the third baseline, but let's talk about your defense first and foremost. You threw out two would-be base stealers at second base last night. Between your controlling of the running game and your calling of pitches and just working the game altogether, how proud of you and how pleased are you at this stage with your progress defensively?
I'm pleased with where I'm at. At the start of the year, our goal was, you know, game calling and as well as, you know, honing in the defense as much as possible. Every day we're working on a specific thing with intent. So I'm pleased with it right now, but the job's never done and, you know, trying to work as hard as I can so that way I can progress up the ranks.
And JJ, former professional catcher, Gustavo Amaña, former catcher. What have you learned from those two guys that's helped you along defensively and even as a hitter?
You know, they let me go about each game and take it how I'm, you know, what I see the game as. And then after, you know, we sit down and we break down the game the best way possible. And they do a really good job of teaching me. And then the next day we, you know, pick a specific part of my game and then we'll, you know, hammer that away. So they've done a great job mentoring me and showing me why things are good, why things are bad. And, you know, I've learned more here in, I don't know, what are we at, 100 games than I have in a long time. So I'm really happy to be playing under them.
Working with Bubba Chandler and Darvin Garcia and Anthony Solomito last night, you guys were in lockstep all night long. How important to the working smoothly and efficiently through a game, how important is that relationship and just being on the same page between battery mates?
Yeah, it's almost everything. I do a lot of homework and study the hitters as much as I can, and I think the pitchers know that, and they also do their homework every night. So to be on the same page, you know, we have a pre-meeting to every game, and we had a plan of attack on every hitter, and you know, they stuck to it. They make my job easy. Bubba, Solometo, and Darwin, they all make my job really easy, so it's fun.
Wyatt Hendry, our guest on the pregame show tonight. A little bit different from the collegiate game in terms of a little more roster turnover. In college, you're dealing with pretty much the same pitching staff from the very first pitch of early spring until the end of the season. Here at Single A, you see a lot more turnover. You get the Florida Complex League, those guys coming up. You get the guys who you start the season with, ideally going up to high A. So quite a bit of turnover. How do you as a catcher adapt to just trying to learn all these different personalities, these different pitch repertoires, and adjusting to that?
Yeah, for me, it's just having the most, you know, level-headed personality I can have so the guys know how to approach me in the best way possible, as well as, you know, when they come in or whether they're going away, being that guy there for them saying, hey, if you need anything, you know, let's work together. I'm on your side. I want to see your career progress no matter what. So it's difficult, you know, and there's a lot of guys that have gone through here this year that you're sad to see go, but if you're having your pitchers go up, that means you're doing your job. So all in all, just learning every single guy is a big task, but it's fun.
Earlier in the season, you were hit by a pitch, and that set you out of action for about a month. But once you got back at it and just sort of looking back at the hurdles you had to clear and sort of the obstacles you had to overcome, what did that process and the road back look like for you, and what do you think that did for you in the long run?
It just let me take a step back. You know, this season's been full of ups and downs. It's my first professional season, so just, you know, being able to take a step back and analyze what I've been doing the whole year was good. Obviously, you don't want it to be through injury, but understanding, you know, where I'm at, what I need to do to get to where I want to be was a nice change, and I tried to use it to the best of my ability and use the coaching staff that I have here especially.
And we'll get you out on this one, Wyatt. You grew up in Southern California, grew up a Red Sox fan, but certainly listened to some Dodgers games here and there in SoCal. Vin Scully, legendary voice of the Dodgers, sadly left us last night, passed away at the age of 94. What did he mean to you? Even though, again, you didn't grow up rooting for the Dodgers, what did he mean to you, though, as a baseball fan and for your overall love of the game?
I mean, anytime you'd hear his voice, even now if you hear it, it brings back childhood memories. So to hear of his passing is really tragic. And, you know, he just reminds me of my childhood and how good my childhood was. And to see a legend like him, you know, do what he loved for so many years. Gives a lot of people motivation in this game. So, you know, I couldn't have asked for any better childhood. And he, even though I wasn't a Dodgers fan, was the voice of my childhood.
Cleta Wyatt, thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was Wyatt Hendry on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with outfielder Tress Gonzalez. Tress, about a month now into your professional career, a month plus. Just touch on the whole experience so far in terms of being able to play in these big league spring training ballparks and learning from this coaching staff. Just what's the full experience been like for you so far?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. Every single ballpark's, there's been greats playing on every field. And whether it's at Lecom or here at Clearwater, I'm enjoying every moment that I can, just looking up in the stands and seeing a bunch of fans up there supporting us and even supporting the other team, just getting fans out here and just a different experience, and I'm grateful for it for sure.
Now, you're from Georgia, so obviously not far from here down in Florida. Did you have some sort of a group of family or friends at Leecon Park recently? It sounded like you had a group cheering for you in particular.
Yeah, so my girlfriend was here last week, and my mom, dad, and my mom's parents, so my grandparents are here right now, actually, so they're here in Clearwater again. But it's great to see them and have them down here supporting me, and I love that they came down here to watch the games.
Always nice to have family and friends and loved ones around, for sure. Last several weeks, pretty consistent contact, bat to ball. You've been on base a lot. Has there been anything that's clicked for you mechanically, or is this just sort of you doing you?
Yeah, it's not really anything mechanical. It just always starts in the cages before the game. Everybody from JJ to Casey to Mendy to Omanya just helping with me with my approach, and definitely just helping me put the best swing I can up at the plate and result in hard contact. So that's all I can hope for.
Has there been any particular nuggets or bits of wisdom or advice that the coaching staff shared with you that has really struck you in particular and helped you out?
Yeah, the biggest thing, the biggest difference between here and college is just the velocity increase, whether it's just a starter who's consistently mid-90s or a closer who's high 90s, touching 100. Just being on time with everything and reacting to off-speed is the biggest thing that I've gotten used to, and just always be on time for the fastball and react to everything else.
Tres Gonzalez, our guest on the pregame show tonight. Georgia Tech set a new program record this year with six players drafted in the first 10 rounds. What do you feel that means to the program as a whole, and just how do you feel that being a part of that program prepped you for professional baseball?
Yeah, we definitely had a really special team. Coach James Ramsey's our hitting coach, and he prepared us a ton. Coach Hall's an awesome, historic head coach and helped us a ton as well. And Danny Burrell, our pitching coach, he had a good amount of pitchers drafted as well. Just such a historic team, and teaching the right game of baseball, going about it the professional way, getting your work done, and if you need help and improvement with different things, then they'll reach out to you, but they kind of let you do your own thing, and that's the thing I like about Georgia Tech, and they help prepare you for the next level where I'm at right now. So,
sticking with the collegiate athletics theme, tennis pretty popular in your family. Both of your parents played, your sister also played. Is that something that you ever considered taking up, or is it something you maybe play in your time away from the baseball diamond? How has that figured into your life personally, if any?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm the only person in my family that didn't play collegiate tennis. So it's definitely been a big part of my life. I played before I started playing baseball. I played at the age of 4 and all the way up until sophomore, junior year of high school. So tennis definitely played a big role in my life, and I ultimately decided that I needed to pick one sport and pick baseball. Just that's where I find my joy and happiness in the game of baseball. I love tennis as well, but there's a special place in my heart for baseball, and I enjoy it every time I step on the field.
Born and raised in the Atlanta area, is there anyone in particular, maybe someone on the Braves or someone else from Major League Baseball, who you model your game after, or somebody who influences or influenced you in some particular way as a ball player?
Yeah, I mean, Georgia and Atlanta in particular just has so many great athletes, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, anything, going pro every year. So nobody from the specific Atlanta area that I mentor my game after, but I always love watching Freddie Freeman play. It's tough watching him go from the Braves to the Dodgers, but at the end of the day, it's a business, and I understand it. So I really like watching his at-bats and how he goes about his professional at-bats. So whenever I see that the Dodgers are playing this year, I definitely tune in to watch a few at-bats from Freddie Freeman.
We'll get you out on this one, Tress. With 5 games to go here in the regular season this week in Clearwater, team still has a chance at a postseason, trying to keep on fighting. What's your mentality and your mindset as you come to the ballpark each day right now?
Yeah, right now it's a really big week, really important 5 games remaining, so can't really focus on the outcomes of the games these next few days, but focus on one inning at a time and get all of our outs and have crucial at-bats pay off. So just take it one at-bat at a time and pass it to the next guy.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you for your time, Tress.
Thank you. Have a good one.
That was Tress Gonzalez on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans. This is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle at @_Marauders. Thank you. Welcome back to the Marauders pregame show. We're visiting tonight with left-hander Cy Nielsen. Cy, your first professional season here in 2022, just drafted in the eighth round this year by the Buccos. What's the professional experience been like for you so far?
It's been a lot of downtime, honestly. A lot of baseball and a lot of video games for me. Just started school, so that's kind of taking up part of my time. But splitting my time between those three, that's pretty much it. So,
what's your go-to video game during your downtime?
I've been playing a lot of Warzone lately, a lot of resurgence with my boys.
Sounds like a good time. So as we look back on your outing last night, you pitched the final two innings of the game, not the final outcome of the game that the team wanted necessarily, but you looked pretty good out there. What was working for you so well?
I think that over the past few outings, I've just kind of been like finding my rhythm, finding my timing, and then last night I felt like I kind of tied it all together. Didn't exactly have my slider and my changeup working, but I felt like I could command my fastball pretty well. So I had that working, along with my timing. I felt pretty well with it. So
now your roots are in Utah, born and raised in the state, went to BYU. Nearest major league team would be the Rockies, I imagine. What point being, what sort of hooked you onto baseball in the first place growing up in Utah?
I mean, I've played my whole entire life. I played other sports. I played football when I was in sixth grade. That was the most recent sport, and I didn't love it. I was always looking forward to going to baseball practice. Couldn't really fall in love with football or anything else. So I think that growing up doing it, I kind of fell in love with the process, the hard work, the failure, and kind of bouncing back. So with all those things, I kind of just grew up in it and fell in love with it. So.
Cy Nielsen, our guest on the pregame show tonight. Your dad actually played some college ball. Did that have any influence on you in your decision to pursue baseball long term?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. We love baseball as a family, and he pushed me to play baseball. We'd always go play in the backyard, whatnot. He'll play catch with me every once in a while, but when I'm back home. But yeah, other than that, I'd say yeah, but not a huge part.
Who were some of the major leaguers you looked up to when you were younger, if any, and who may have played another role in sort of your formative years in growing up as a ball player?
Yeah, so back to my dad, we were big Red Sox fans, always watching games, always watching like the top 100 plays, whatever. I would say my top two are John Lester and David Price, back when they were both Red Sox. I like them both. They're smooth, their mechanics, they kind of like mine. Love the way they compete. John Lester's a big hunter. I love going hunting. But yeah, I just love those two, both left-handed.
I was going to say, both left-handed, yeah. Too. That's easy for you. And so being a Red Sox fan, you actually had the opportunity to go pitch in the Cape Cod League for a couple of summers. That had to have been pretty special for you.
Yeah, it was really cool. Went out there. Me and my mom drove out from Utah, went to Fenway Park. Yeah, it was a long drive. Went out to Fenway Park. It was beautiful. We had to fly my dad out. We all went to a game together. It was insane. Fenway Park, seeing the look on his face is just like starstruck almost. But yeah, playing out there was great. I was out there for two summers, fell in love with the town, the people. They're very loyal fans. Learned a lot about myself. Felt like it really prepared me for pro ball. So
you joined the team here in Bradenton just a couple of weeks ago, basically right in the heart of a postseason chase. As you come to the ballpark each day, you sit in the bullpen or you take the mound. What are the feelings like for you knowing what's at stake right now?
There's a lot at stake, to be honest with you. We win, then even losing, we're right there in first place. So it's kind of based on who's working well that night. Calls go our way, calls don't go our way. That's kind of what the games are decided on. So all I know is I can control what I can control. When I'm called upon, I do the best I can. And I know that I can help the other guys prepare whatever they need to do. But yeah, it's just another baseball game in the end. But you gotta win some more than you lose.
That's right. Excellent, Cy. Thank you for your time today. Yeah,
for sure. Thank you.
That was Cy Nielsen on the pregame show. We'll be back next with starting lineups on the Marauders Broadcast Network. Hey, Marauders fans, this is Spencer Smith. Today's game is currently in a delay. Please stay tuned for further information regarding game updates. You can also find updates on the Marauders Twitter handle @the_Marauders.
With the Indianapolis Indians, I'm Jack McMullen. The Indians have had a back-and-forth week in Omaha in their second straight series on the road. After taking the final five games in Louisville last week, the Indians and Storm Chasers have continued to swap tight wins. While the team results have become more sporadic, offensive production has remained steady. In outfielder Jared Oliva's last 20 games, he's flying to the .400 marker, collecting 28 hits in his last 70 at-bats. Mason Martin has four extra base hits in as many games and is top 10 in the International League in that category. But the big contributions have come from two guys that recently got to Indy from Altoona. Catcher Blake Sable has been magnificent, clubbing three homers in his first 10 games with the team, hitting right around 300 and showing his defensive versatility, playing catcher and left field effectively. But right-hander Luis Ortiz stole the show on Thursday night, throwing six hitless innings and punching out nine Omaha hitters, dominating with a fastball that reached the triple digits. The Indians wrapped the road trip this afternoon with the Indians' debut of recent waiver claim Peter Solomon. They then hit the road back to Indy and start a stretch of 12 games in 12 days at Victory Field on Tuesday night against Toledo. With the Indians, I'm Jack McMullen.
With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses. The Curve have put themselves in position to make a late run at the second half title with four wins out of five to begin their series with the first place Erie Seawolves this week. On Friday night, right-hander Quinn Priester spun another brilliant outing, perhaps his best of the season, scattering four base runners over seven scoreless innings with five strikeouts on just 75 pitches. Priester was dialed in from pitch one, induced a pair of double play balls early in the game, which helped him work deep. And for pitching coach Drew Bennis, he was really impressed by nearly every aspect of Priester's outing.
You know, when you're not having to worry about the pitch count, it's always a good day. So just his ability to attack the zone and get quick outs, use a sinker. His other weapons were explosive too, so he was able to use the breaking ball early in the count. He was able to use the slider late to put guys away. The changeup was good, like really good all around. But the biggest part for me was just the quick outs and the efficiency, and that's usually what buys you the chance to get deeper into the game.
Priester is the rare pitcher that features both a curveball and slider, and on Friday night he had both working to perfection, which isn't always the case for a starting pitcher.
Guys that have two breaking balls usually have one or the other. It's kind of rare when you have both. More outings than not, one's feeling better than the other one is, and you know, part of it is, you know, certain ones play better to righties and lefties early in the count, late in the count. You know, there's a bunch of stuff that goes into it. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, usually it's what he has feel for that day and what he has confidence in, because both of them are really good and he can use both of them in zone or strike the ball out of zone.
Altoona wraps up their series with Erie on Sunday at 1:35 with Aaron Shortridge on the mound and remain right on the edge of the second half playoff race with seven games to go. With the Altoona Curve, I'm John Moses. Again, everybody, welcome to Bay Care Ballpark in Clearwater, where unfortunately we have some bad news. Today's game has been canceled officially here at Bay Care Ballpark, as has been the Dunedin Blue Jays game against the Palm Beach Cardinals. So with both games being canceled, the standings remain as they were entering play today, which means the Dunedin Blue Jays, in first place by a half game over the Marauders, take the division title. They advance the postseason and will face the Fort Myers Mighty Muscles in the best of three West Division Championship Series. And many folks, understandably, are very unhappy about this situation, but the truth of the matter is that both fields, both Dunedin and Clearwater, have taken on a lot of rain, a lot of puddles, unplayable wet field conditions, and the league just unfortunately will not allow these two teams to play tomorrow, and so that is the grim reality of it all. The Marauders are officially eliminated from postseason contention, despite being down just 2-0 after two innings of play here in Clearwater this afternoon. This game will be declared a no game in essence, so none of the stats recorded today will count in the official records of each of the players who played. And again, a very unfortunate end to the Marauders' 2022 season. How about the excitement, though, down the stretch run as the Marauders took it all the way to the very last day of the regular season? A mighty push, an excellent effort by all men involved from start to finish, from opening night, April the 8th in Dunedin, all the way to the finish here on September the 11th, 2022. The Marauders come up just short of a postseason bid here in the 22 Florida State League season. So a little bit of a bitter goodbye here, bittersweet goodbye as we wrap things up one final time here on the air. But the Marauders, in the end, do win the series against the Threshers, 3-2, and they will at least head home with that under their belts, a series win in their final series of the 2022 regular season. Not by any stretch of the imagination the Marauders and their fans wanted to end this season, but this is what we are left with here in 22.
The Marauders, I'm sure, will come back with yet another prospect-loaded roster for the 2023 season, and you can look for the updated the 2023 season Marauders schedule at a later date later on this winter or perhaps even earlier in the spring. That information will come out as soon as all involved parties are ready to release that. So again, a bittersweet goodbye here on our final day of the regular season here at BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater. The Marauders and Threshers officially canceled, as are the Dunedin Blue Jays and the Palm Beach Cardinals. So the Blue Jays leading in the standings, entering play today. They take the West Division title for the second half by just a half game over the Marauders, who hung tough all the way until the very final day of the regular season. So that does it for us one final time here in 2022. For everyone at the Bradenton Marauders and the Pittsburgh Pirates who helped make this season all possible at home at Lecom Park, and for everybody in all Pirates Florida operations who helped make the season a reality, my greatest thanks to each and every one of you and to each and every one of the fans who tuned in, who came out to the ballpark, who supported the team in every way. We cannot thank you enough for your support throughout this 2022 season. That'll do it for us here at BayCare Ballpark in Clearwater this afternoon. Signing off one final time, this is Spencer Smith saying so long and good afternoon from BayCare Ballpark. We'll see you in 2023.
Thank you for listening to this presentation of Bradenton Marauders Baseball.